Hey guys,
what's going on, peeps of the people?
It's Sunday.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
It's the day before Monday.
Like an angel.
And the day after all other days. Thought I was going to say Saturday, but I changed it up on you.
I did think Saturday was coming, and then, whoop, you did a double flip.
That's a nice thing about days of the week.
Every other day.
They all rhyme with day, because they all end in day.
That's a very astute
observation. Don't you think that's lazy?
Observation. No.
I feel like it's lazy.
Because they're all days.
Well, like, but
they all have their
own. But every month, you're not like Janu month, Febu month, April month. I mean, why do all the days end in day? Why can't they have cool names like months? Like, why can't Monday be
I don't know, if you
Jemima?
Get,
you know?
If you get above 10, then you have to have your own word for it.
I don't know, man.
7 days in a week, 12 months in a year.
I just think it's stupid.
It's dumb.
I mean, I've never really thought about it till right now, but it does seem lazy.
Weeks don't
It's
have
like the dude who made months was, like, really creative, mm-hmm. and the guy who made the days was like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And, like, and the guy who made the month's like, hey, dude, these are kind of lame. He's like, well, I spelled Wednesday with an NES in there for some reason, you know? Wednesday.
And then,
and then weeks
I
don't have names at all.
Two S days together as one, basically.
They should have week names.
Yeah.
You're right, man.
I know, right?
Like, the 45th week of the year should be Humdumble.
Humdumble.
Like, that would be great.
Humdumble.
What's wrong with that one?
The fuck is that?
Humdumble's a good name for a week, dude.
Oh, my God. It's Humdumble week. Would you say week, or is it just Humdumble?
No, I think you would just say Humdumble.
It's Humdumble, everybody. Yeah.
Next week is Humdumble. You know, next month is January.
Duh, Bears.
Duh, Bears? Why did Dwayne say Duh, Bears for?
Duh, Bears. Humdumble, Duh, Bears.
Dumb Bears. I don't understand that, but I'm glad it happened.
I don't know. That me saying Duh, Bears is something. I know it's someone who does that.
Yeah, Mike Ditka.
Is it? Duh, Bears.
Yeah. Because he was the coach for Duh, Bears for a while.
Oh, that makes
sense. I think it was, what's the word? Popularized isn't the word, but I think it works on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Because Ditka hosted Saturday Night Live once, and they did this whole bit. Where, like, this is, like, back in the 80s. Mm. And, like, they did this whole bit where, like, there was a bunch of Chicagoans in, like, a pizza joint. And they'd just be like, hey, man, how Duh, Bears doing? And they'd just be like, Duh, Bears. And then Mike Ditka walked in and they all lost their minds. Like, I think that's what started it.
That's probably.
I don't know why it was put in our chest, our Duh, Bears playing today. I forget they're a football team. Do they play football still?
Oh, yeah.
Or do they just say that they did? Like, do they just run a Madden simulation and then put up the score because no one will know one way or the other whether or not they actually played?
No, I feel like it's Chicago, right?
Like, if you, like, seriously, have you seen Duh, Bears on a schedule?
I haven't paid
in 10
a
years?
Single lick of attention.
Yeah, but you've seen, like, matchups like.
I'm boycotting it. That damn take a knee scandal. I disrespect the flag, man. God.
Dude, I saw this really. I follow this subreddit called I'm Going to Hell for This, mm-hmm. which just shares really irreverent
that's
memes.
Great. Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
And there was one posted a day that said, look at the disrespect sitting for the national anthem, and it was the five presidents, and George W. Bush, of course, is in, or H.W. Bush, the old Bush, is in a wheelchair. And so it's all the presidents standing with their hands over their heart, and then he's just sitting in his chair with his hand over his heart, and he's like, look at the disrespect. And I'm like, God, that is so messed up.
You know, I feel like that is something Trump would stoop down to saying, just if he was put on the spot. He's like, what do you think about old George W. sitting during the national anthem? It's disrespectful. The worst thing
it's like,
I've ever seen.
It's like those Jimmy Kimmel skits where like they go out to the side, like on the street, and then they ask fake questions.
Right.
Like, what did you think about Donald Trump the other day getting in a fight with his hairdryer? You know, and then people actually respond because they think it's real.
Right.
You could probably do that to Donald Trump about several news stories.
1,000%.
That'd be great, actually.
That would be a good bit.
It would ruin someone's career, but like, if Jimmy Kimmel could do that just once, like, that's all it would take would be once, you know?
Be ridiculous.
Like, give the producer that's going to screen them, like, real questions, but then you get there and you just ask fake questions and see how Donald Trump responds. And then,
oh, he would pretend to know every single
right. That's what I'm saying.
I
he would never, like
answers.
Jimmy Kimmel would never get another interview.
No,
but I think it would be worth it.
It would.
Yeah, and that. He would be the guy to 100%. Do it. We should write him and let him know. I think that's a great idea. Because he's, remember, he's the dude.
We should do it.
Remember, Jimmy Kimmel is the dude who when Conan O'Brien got fired from NBC and Jay Leno came back, he came out for like two episodes as Jay Leno.
Oh, really?
Remember that? And he,
I
like,
remember say just a monologue.
Yeah, no, he did the entire episode as Jay Leno, and it was very uncomfortable because like he brought out guests and stuff and stayed in character as Jay Leno the entire time. I remember who he talked to. That was like a whole thing.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, so Jimmy Kimmel would be the guy to do it. Plus, he still has that fake feud with Matt Damon.
Yeah,
which I love.
No, yeah,
yeah, love pretty it. Great, dude.
Just love that fake feud.
You don't love it?
No, it's overplayed.
You. Come on, man. Did you see the one where where Ben Affleck wore that big trench coat?
Yes.
After the Oscars, and Matt Damon came out of it. You didn't like that, man?
I saw that, and I was figuring, wow, Matt Damon had to be, like, tucked in.
Yeah, but Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are like me and you.
Like a hot second.
Like, they're best friends in real life.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Like, you wouldn't hide in my trench coat? Is that what you're saying? Because I'd hide in yours.
It depends on the length of time.
Well, I would imagine it was, like, what, 5 minutes at the most? You know,
either
coming
way,
out from backstage
had, like,
to when he brings it up.
Ben Affleck had like some, you know, rig on him to help him hold up Matt.
Well, yeah,
Damon.
Matt Damon's got to be like 400 pounds of
ridiculous.
Pure muscle, man.
So,
he's a big dude.
With that kind of contraption involved, it's got to be a little bit longer than just, oh, I'm on, oop, I'm off, you know? Like,
nah, I feel like it's just snaps, you know? No. The Hollywood magic, dude.
Hollywood.
Dude,
Hollywood.
If we had $1 million to figure it out, it could be fast.
We could probably do it, yeah.
Yeah, because
so
they're
then,
rich,
no,
too.
I'm not completely turning it down,
yeah,
but
so
if we were to do it right now,
no, definitely not right now. Well, I'm not
turning it down.
I'm not even gonna go out and buy a trench coat. It's not worth it. So it's definitely not gonna happen. We have to have assistance even
that
before this becomes.
Though.
Well, yeah, that's right.
You gotta like stretch it or something.
Yeah, I can't. I'm very excited to try that on. I don't know what's gonna happen. I'm really worried because you're telling me it's not gonna fit.
It barely fit me. It was tight on me.
Like tight where? Like the chest?
Everywhere. It was
very
one.
Weird.
It was short. So
yeah.
You're taller than I am. So it was short on me.
Okay. But see, I don't have to like it doesn't need to fit down
you
here.
Just also,
it just needs to fit right up here. Right. Like I could just cut down the legs for all I care.
That would actually probably help.
Yeah.
Because yes, the legs were like it's a jumpsuit, so it got you in the crotch because it's not long enough.
Right.
So it's just right enough.
Yeah. I mean, I could just cut the crotch out.
That would be a smart.
No one's gonna see it. I mean, it's here up is what's gonna matter.
That'd be a smart
for
idea.
For context on my Twitch stream. Once I get my sub button, I'm gonna wear Colby's panda onesie on stream all day to celebrate. Which he says will not fit me.
It won't fit.
And, yeah. So if you want to help out with that, you want to see me to Panzer onesie, there you go.
Yeah.
That's, you can do it.
Follow Z-Swigs.
Yeah.
Or here.
I'm kind of hesitant to promote it, honestly. No, I'm not doing it here.
What are you going to do here when we
Nothing.
Get the sub button? What?
I mean, if you want to do something, we've
yeah,
never
well,
discussed
yeah,
it.
What? We can discuss it on the show, just like Pinella, and just roll with whatever we come up with, and then be forced
chat?
And turn our own
hand. We got a few people in chat right now. What would you, when we get our sub button, which we've pretty much met all the requirements for except concurrent viewership.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need 3 concurrent viewers, and right now I think we've got 3 people in chat right now at least. It says
yeah,
so.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
Getting
so
there.
Would you guys like? What would you like us to do? We're open to ideas.
A celebration
yeah.
extravaganza.
Like a lot of people wear like Pinella just wore a dress for, you know, 7,000 subs on YouTube.
We're not doing that, though.
That's too easy, almost.
Well, then what's harder than that, man?
Well, I don't know if easy is the right word. Like, cliche might be the word. Like, I feel like we need to do something that's us.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know what that is, though.
Mustache episode?
Like where we wear mustaches?
Yeah, fake mustaches.
You have a mustache.
I mean, it's a pathetic. I want like fucking what's the guy's name? That
don't
you
think
like
it should be something that encumbers us? Like, what if we do like no arms episode? Where like we come in and we put like our arms in our shirts and we're not allowed to use our arms the entire episode. Like, how would I change scenes? Like, I'd have to.
Yeah, that would be kind of
like,
hard for
I'd
you.
I'd have to like nose it. Like,
yeah.
You know.
You got it. Yep.
Like, see, I'd have to do that.
That was some skill.
That would be tough. We could do no arms. That wouldn't really affect you, though.
No, it wouldn't.
Because you don't. Well, you couldn't use smoke your e-cig.
Ah!
You'd have to, like, hold it in your knees. Like, bend over.
Oh, God. My back. Nope, we're not doing that. can't do that.
No legs episode, where we literally cut off our own legs.
I think that breaks some Twitch guidelines, probably.
We cut them off on air, chainsaw. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we could think of something. But, yeah, Chad, if you have any ideas, feel free to post them in there. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, we haven't started the episode yet, and no, mostly yeah. that's because...
There's nothing, no episode again.
There's just nothing to
we
talk about.
We have no topics.
Like, I have four tabs open, all right? And I can literally... I could just read the title to you.
Yeah.
That's about the meat of the content in these tabs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So the first one is... Actually, you know, the first one we can talk about. That one's actually interesting. Okay. At least I hope. I haven't read it. I hope it's actually interesting.
There's more interesting things.
I hope. And then the second one mm-hmm. is there's this restaurant in California that when you went and ordered the chicken, they actually were just serving you Popeye's chicken. They would just go and buy a bunch of that. Popeyes and mm-hmm. serve it. So there's that one. Jared Leto confirms that he's going to be in Tron 3. I didn't know anything about Tron, so.
Oh, yeah. I think I heard that.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. then the fourth one is Pacific Rim says they could cross over with Godzilla and King Kong.
What?
Yeah, so.
I mean, yes, but no.
So we could talk about those. That's literally, I don't know how we're going to fill 2 hours with it, but that's why probably I don't really care about starting the episode.
We don't always have to fill 2 hours.
Well, if we're riffing here, you know, why yeah, why cut it off, man?
Riffity riff.
Why cut it off, man?
It's a established line of how we...
I don't know, dude.
Time
I feel like if you go to our YouTube, you know how YouTube does like the thumbnails that like play 3 seconds of the episode now, like as
yes,
you know that. Mm-hmm. If you go to our YouTube and you look at our full episodes, every single one of our thumbnails plays the exact same area of our intro. Like,
that's weird.
What are the chances that like our timing
mm-hmm.
is so organically exactly the same every week?
That it lines up with
yeah,
the,
because it's always where the world turns, and then it shows super like the comic books, the music, movies section. It's that one on like 90% of the episodes. Huh. It's in that 5 seconds of intro every time. And we don't time the intro. It just happens that
way.
It's
just called skill.
I don't know if that's skill.
That's skill.
It is technically a skill. It's not a useful one, though.
No, but it's skillful, and you got to respect that.
It's something.
It's something.
I wish we could apply it to, you know, well, I guess I was going to be like to make money, but I guess that's technically what we're doing here.
Yeah,
like the
man.
Hope is, you know, as we do more of this, people will foghorn us, scaring me, jumpstarting my heart. That was a low energy foghorn right there, guys. That was a low energy.
Yeah, Colby's not tired at all again today. Not at all.
Yeah, no. I could talk about, I think I'm dying. We could talk about that a little bit. So we can talk about that. Should we just start the show and then try to get into it?
Yeah, man.
All right, well, let's start the stupid show.
Probably best.
And then we'll get into it. Here we go.
Who are Seth and Colby? So-called podcast gods who blazed the trail for talk radio on the internet.
What a ridiculous name.
First partnering in 2008, Seth and Colby took the internet by storm with their unique views on the hot topics of the day.
Science is a liar sometimes.
We won't lie. They've been away a while. A lot of things may have changed.
45th President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump.
But Seth and Colby are here to teach you.
This is America. You're either a duper or a dupee. I'm a duper. You guys are the dupees.
To entertain you.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
And to make you laugh. Seth and Colby will dissect the world as it is. Movies, meme culture, music, weird science.
We didn't have time to work out the minutiae of the plan.
And they'll bring it to you in a lovely package that will delight you and those closest to you. Now, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, and attack helicopters, here are Seth and Colby.
Welcome to the Seth and Colby Show. This is episode number 32 for October 22nd, 2017. It's high energy and low energy here today. Yeah, I'm the low energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the really high one.
He's just high. I'm high energy, and he's just high.
Yeah, that's a good tagline.
Welcome to the show, guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. No matter how you ingest the show, we thank you for doing so. Welcome. That was a great rhyme, by the way.
That was a great rhyme.
This is episode number 32. We're live at twitch.tv/SethandColby, as we are two times a week. Once on Sundays at 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, 1 o'clock Mountain Time. Mountain Time always gets shafted. And then we're also live on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Mountain Time.
You're getting it.
There you go, all the Americas. If you're in England, help yourself to helping the time. I think it's 6 hours. I want to say it's 6 hours ahead of what it is now. So it's like 8 p.m. Sunday night and in the middle of the morning. Thursday.
We really have no idea.
Yeah, we don't. I should probably figure that out and then read off a list of world times, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, you do that.
Either way, no matter where you are or how you're listening, thank you for watching. Thank you very much. We are live at twitch.tv/SethandColby. You can also catch the video on demand if you don't watch the live episode at youtube.com/SethandColby. That's where the full episodes are shortly after we record them live. And if you want the audio version, you can get that on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Just search Seth and Colby on there. It pops right up. Right up. It's right there, guys. And thank you. Follow us on Twitter as well. Twitter.com/SethandColby. All these links and more, including a Plain Jane RSS feed if you use like Podbean or something weird, is at SethandColby.com.
Like them podcasts, man.
Yeah, man. If you like the audio and not the eyeball version, that's fine. You want the ear and not the eye, we got you covered too. And if you want the eye and not the ear, we also got you covered there. So if you are watching us live, you can, Morris says 6 hours.
Yeah, I looked it up. It's so true.
You got it. I knew that from when we did Beautiful Monsters back in the day because we had a bunch of London people. Remember that? Yeah, anyway, that's a complete side trail. If you want to help out the show, type !Foghorn into the chat and click the link. Donate a monetary sum, and a massive foghorn that terrifies both me and Colby will sound in the middle of the show, and we will stop whatever we are doing to read your name and your message. Your donations are never expected, but they are appreciated, and they do keep Colby coming back here twice a week. If we get enough of him, he might come here three times a week. Yeah, that's what it is. So thank you guys again for watching. Follow us on Twitch, subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Twitter, and leave a 5-star review on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. But most importantly, follow us on Twitch. It really helps. And thank you very much for watching and listening. Let's fade out the stupid intro. And then we can actually start the show or whatever.
It's faded.
So, let's talk about this one right here, okay? Because this is like a throwback to an episode we did 2-3 weeks ago, maybe? Uh-huh. I don't know. They kind of all blend together. Like, it used to be easy to be like, 4 episodes ago, because we only did one a week. But now that we do two, it's it's impossible to keep track. But it was pretty recent. We found this thing called camel milk, and we read about this Chinese guy who had this camel milk empire. And then we stumbled upon this cult of camel milk in Michigan, where you had to like join this club, and then they would send you camel milk and like
annual membership,
right? And they had like this huge legal disclaimer about what you could and could not do with camel milk. Like, you cannot talk about Fight Club,
camel milk crap,
like that type of stuff, man. We didn't understand it. We knew that it was something bad, and we pretty quickly left,
avoided it. Yeah.
Here's a follow up to this. This is from the Kansas City Star. All right, Fed sees gallons of camel milk. Camel milk. They allege was illegally shipped to Kansas.
What the fuck? They heard our show and was like, there's a market.
This could have been camel milk. This could have been us, man.
It was us. I did it secretly. I needed gallons upon gallons of that camel milk, bro. It's a great hangover recipe.
That's what they say. Federal and Kansas authorities have seized gallons of camel milk in Kansas City, Kansas that had alleged falsely claimed unproven health benefits. A legal action was filed Thursday in the U.S. District Court, signaling the forfeiture of seized milk products.
What are the fucking chances?
I know, right? That's what's so crazy about this. Prosecutors allege that California company selling the products advertises they are intended for use in the diagnosis, cure, medication, and treatment of disease, which is literally why the guy in China got so big, is because all the people over there in the Asian markets are buying camel milk as like a cure-all. They're like using it like emergency over there.
Right.
It's like you drink camel milk if you're hungover. You drink it if you got a urinary tract infection. You drink it if you've got AIDS. Like no matter what it is, you're drinking camel milk to save yourself.
Intended for the use in the diagnosed, cure, mitigation, and treatment of disease.
Right. That's every adjective and descriptor of that
and
of
every disease.
Right. Yes.
Not one specifically.
Just
not
disease.
Just a couple.
Right.
Just anything.
Also, it's a disease.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a cold, you know, a sickness, a virus. This is a disease. It's like, I've got cancer. Drink some camel milk, man. It'll save your life. Like, that's what they're saying.
Camel milk saved my son's life. His bones were falling out, and now they're back in.
Mama, I scraped my knee. What do I do? Rub camel milk on it. It'll save you. The scab over immediately, and then you rub camel milk on your scab.
It's like Wolverine serum. It just heals immediately.
That's what it's like, dude. Those diseases listed by the company include autism, diabetes, multiple sclerosis, Crohn's disease, hepatitis, gastrointestinal problems, heart problems, and cancer, according to documents filed by federal prosecutors.
Wow.
That's a lot of serious diseases.
That's a lot of completely different diseases,
Hold
too.
Hold on. I changed all of our cameras, but I didn't change this one.
Did you change, like, zooms?
I did.
And, everything?
I forgot about this one, though. Let me fix it.
Yeah. Yeah, you fix it.
There we go.
Ooh,
there, now it's
correct.
Consistent. See, now it's me. Now it's you.
Ah!
It's the full thing, and then it's us. Now we're all flipped, okay? It all works. Anyway, back to what we're talking about. None of the C's projects have been genuinely recognized as safe and effective by qualified experts for those claimed uses. And as a result, prosecutors said they would need to be classified as new drugs under federal law. Such products cannot be introduced in interstate commerce without prior approval or an exemption to that approval, according to the government's case. So literally, camel milk got taken by the feds in Kansas City because everyone's claiming that it's a cure-all for cancer and multiple sclerosis and diabetes and whatever else. And because of those technically false claims, they haven't been proved by the FDA, it's illegal to ship it across state lines. So if we would have bought camel milk that day, we would have been committing a federal crime.
No fucking way.
Dude, that's what it says right here,
There's
man.
There's no way. I'm sure... Like, a pint of it that we were going to order from Amazon is a little bit different than gallons upon gallons
of
this stuff.
I would assume that some person bought it to sell in a store or something. But still,
no, it's a drug now.
Right.
It's considered a drug.
Right. It's the same as, like, if you were shipping cocaine. You know? It's the same thing. It's camel milk.
It's camel milk, though.
Some products cannot be introduced at interstate commerce without approval or extension of that approval, according to the government's case. In August, investigators with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the Kansas Department of Agriculture saw products labeled as raw camel milk colostrum, and kefir made from raw camel milk at a distribution center in Kansas City, Kansas. There are no licensed dairy operations in Kansas that bottle raw or pasteurized camel milk, but at least some of the seized products were produced at a farm in Miller, Missouri, according to the documents. As a result, the government has concluded that all of the products were moved in interstate commerce and are subject to forfeiture. The case involves 8 and 16-ounce bottles of various products. All told, more than 4,300 bottles worth of an estimated $70,000 is being held. Earlier this year, the FDA put out a warning that included the camel milk among a list of ineffective and potentially dangerous things being touted as treatments for autism. This camel milk thing is blowing up right now.
We were on the front edge of it.
Yes.
Man. We brought this issue to light.
I mean, it says early August. Like, that might have been when we talked about it. I don't know. We'd have to check our website. I'm sure it's in a description.
It was maybe a little bit earlier than that, but who knows?
No, I feel like if anything, it might have been later than that. I feel like it might have been later than that. This is from our chat. Wow, a cow made of butter. My girls would love it. In fact, the first sentence Caroline ever said was, "I like butter," from Ted Cruz. That's actually a photo of Kansas. I don't know if you know that, dude. That's at the Kansas State Fair. Like, that's...
yeah, it is.
That's here.
Ted Cruz!
That's our state fair
there. That's terrible.
I don't know if you knew that.
I like butter. Daddy, butter is so good. I like butter.
FBI says, please do not snort the powdered camel milk. Don't tell me what to do, FBI. I do what I want. All right. Oh, is our website doing that hilarious thing again where it doesn't load any of the episodes? Okay, there we go. Thank God.
YouTube maybe better. You can like read the description. Oh no, there's the descriptions. Yeah, there's the description.
Hey guys. All right, we're gonna have to mute ourselves.
Oh God.
To mute ourselves here. We do a lot of episodes. October 8th. Just look for the word camel. All right. Look for the word camel.
It's September 21st, man.
Is that what you think?
Yep.
September 28th. Don't see camel there. Don't see it there. 21st. Hot and angry.
Nope.
No, not there. September 17th. There you camel go. Milk. So September 17th is when we talked about it.
Oh, my God.
Our September 17th episode. So 10 episodes ago. 10 episodes ago, we talked about it. Almost a month. Almost a month ago, we talked
within
about
a
it.
Month, it has been, like, taken out of context, and the FBI is getting at it, and DEA's marked it as an illegal substance. You can't move it across state lines.
But there's a guy in China who's becoming a millionaire off our camel milk.
That's ridiculous.
Isn't that insane?
We should buy some camels.
That's weird how the government works, dude. Do they have people at the FDA who are literally just looking at, like, Eastern medicines and be like, oh, we gotta be on the lookout for camel milk?
Probably.
Here.
But what I like is the FDA put out a warning that included camel milk among a list of ineffective and potentially dangerous things.
Right, because it's unpasteurized.
Is that why?
Unpasteurized milk, it could kill you. It's got diseases and stuff in it.
Yeah, then that's
it can.
Probably not
I mean, it
smart,
does. Like,
though,
it's like
right?
eating raw eggs can technically kill you as well, but it. More often than not, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually if you drink a raw egg, you're going to be okay. But it can have bad things, just like unpasteurized milk can. But there's a lot of people out there that say those unclean things are better for you because it introduces good bacteria into your body and all that. That's what they say. I don't know.
Yeah, no, yeah, yes and no to everything that I don't know about because I have no idea about
you and
none
I just wanted camel
shit.
Milk because we wanted to try camel milk.
Yeah.
Like, for the LOLs, basically. Mm-hmm. Just be like, oh, we had camel milk on the show.
Yeah.
But if we would have bought that camel milk from Michigan, the website we were on, we would have been committing technically a federal crime.
It could have been seized by the government.
Right. They could have taken our camel milk away from us, which, in retrospect, would have made really great show content.
Oh, it would have.
That the feds took our camel milk. But
damn federal agents, man, they came, they seized our milk.
I just can't believe that that's a thing that happened. Like, what? Like a month ago, we talked about this, and
now it's
now it's a thing that happened.
Now you can get visited by the FBI because you got camel milk.
Like, how scared would you be if the FBI showed up at your door?
I'd be fucking.
And then they were
out.
Just there for camel milk.
Be like, what do you want from me?
Like, you're watching.
Watch your fucking milk.
You're watching every illegal movie and when they show up, and then they don't care about that. They just want your milk.
They're like, what are you doing? Streaming pirated movies?
Listen, Mr. Fed, I have not been streaming pirated movies and snorting cocaine up here for the last 3 days. All right, that's okay, son. We're not here for that. We're here for your illegally obtained camel milk.
But you mentioned cocaine. What's that about?
Can we get a bump of that? It's been a long day. Boss got us out getting camel milk from people in residences. We need some help.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it really that dangerous that the FBI has to take their time?
I don't know, maybe because it's the state line thing that the FBI, it's like their jurisdiction or something. I have no idea, dude.
Ridiculous. I cannot believe that, though. Like, it's funny enough that the FBI is seizing camel milk.
Right.
But the funniest thing is, it's fucking here.
Right.
They seized it from our state.
Right. Like, a 3-hour drive from here is where there's an FBI bust of camel milk.
That's ridiculous. $70,000
worth of camel milk.
That's so insane.
Doesn't make any sense.
I can't believe it.
Doesn't make any sense.
That's what our tax dollars are funding right there, man.
Yep. Speaking of food, let's talk about this one right here. You said you knew about this, but I had not read this. The restaurant's... probably should scroll up. A California restaurant admits it's been serving Popeye's chicken for months. Okay?
What? California? I thought this was in, like...
It says California. I don't know.
No, yeah, this is it. That's the same.
It began with a Yelp review. On October 7th, a Yelp user who goes by the name of Tyler H., probably a certified douche because I hate Yelp people, posted a 1-star review of Sweet Dixie Kitchen, a restaurant in Long Beach, California that boasts a menu of biscuits and gravy, sweet potato hash, salmon benedicts, Frito pies, and bread pudding. He claimed that he saw workers sneak a bag of Popeye's chicken into the kitchen shortly after he and a friend were seated at the restaurant. He assumed that the chicken was a snack for the kitchen staff, but when his $13 plate of chicken and waffles arrived at the table, he found the taste of his chicken eerily familiar and a touch too stale. When he asked his waiter where the chicken had sourced or where the restaurant had sourced the fried chicken, the waiter admitted that it had come from none other than Popeyes. The restaurants compensated Tyler and his friend for the meal, but Kimberly Sanchez, the restaurant owner, responded the next day to the Yelp reveal, "We proudly serve Popeyes spicy tenders." She insisted that she wasn't doing anything wrong in getting her chicken from Popeyes. For example, she wrote, she sources the restaurant's gumbo from a friend who sells it at a local farmer's market. Besides, she says the restaurant's chicken isn't, or kitchen isn't equipped with a fryer, so she and her staff have to outsource her chicken one way or another. So whatever you and your little review like, it was some great exposure, and whatever to you, dude, her rebuttal to Tyler Age continued.
Yeah, you don't need to read his, because it's just basically like the chicken is Popeyes, but her response is pretty intense.
Her response says, quote, "Hi, Tyler. We proudly serve, in all caps, Popeyes chicken spicy tenders, the best fried chicken anywhere, and from New Orleans, which are delivered twice a day. We also, in case you need to know, buy our gumbo from a friend who sells at a local farmer market. And our jam, which we used to make here, we are introduced to by a woman from Alabama who now sells the most wonderful jams, as it has always been our goal to feature local food and guest chefs here. We promote usually small batch local producers in our menu. The exception is Popeyes. We can't fry at this location, and it's the fried chicken I love so much and I ate a ton of in Atlanta, so I serve it. We don't grow our own veggies. We purchase those, and if we run out of our own slow-cooked pork in order to keep our menu intact, I will order a batch of carnitas from the best place in Long Beach. We don't mill our own flour, as we don't own a mill or wheat farm, and our coconut cake is made by our prep cook who makes cakes for private clients, just FYI. So whatever to you and your little review, like it was some great exposure, and whatever to you, dude, we do what we do, and we bring Long Beach the best food, mostly made here, but we always get by with a little help from our friends, and we don't want it any other way." Kim Sanchez, business owner.
Yeah.
I mean,
She equated buying Popeye's chicken and reserving that to customers, yes, as their own food.
Yes.
To, "We don't grow our own vegetables."
Yeah, it's not exactly the same.
Not really.
Like, her point was like, you know, we don't make everything here in the back. Like, that's what she's trying to say. Mm-hmm.
And previously on their Facebook, it said, "We make all things from scratch in-house." On their restaurant Facebook page.
But not the chicken, though.
No, obviously, they changed it now.
Yeah.
But they did have that on Facebook. Including Popeye's Chicken, sponsored by Popeye's. Everybody eat that Louisiana-style
so
fried chicken.
Is that legal?
Yeah.
So could we start a restaurant?
I think you have to disclaim it.
Like, what if we made a Cheesecake Factory, okay? Style restaurant, okay, where it served everything. Our menu was huge. When you ordered pizza, it came from Pizza Hut. And when you ordered chicken, it came from Popeye's. And when you ordered a Big Mac, it came from McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we just sourced other restaurants, and all we did was run food from here and there. We didn't cook anything in-house, and we just charged an upcharge fee on it.
Probably do that. I don't know. How much does the chicken cost from Popeye's, and how much is she selling it for?
Well,
I think I saw she's selling her chicken sandwich for $13.99.
Well, he said the chicken and waffles was $13.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing chicken and waffles, like, what, three pieces of chicken at the most?
Yeah, you can get a chicken po' boy, which is two pieces of bread and three tenders at Popeye's, right, for $3.99.
Right. So it's probably a 300-400% markup. Yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
But she's got to pay for the gas to go get it, man. She's got to pay for the employee. I mean, it would be a cool concept, though, if, like,
Jake Paul's mom-in-law.
Hey, thanks, Jake Paul's mom.
Thanks, Jake Paul's mom-in-law. That's awesome.
That's a great... Are you the people?
Jake Paul's mom's lost. Blah, 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 blah.
But, yeah, man, like, I think it would be a cool restaurant idea. Like, imagine if you and your friends couldn't figure out where to go. Like, I want McDonald's. Well, I want Popeyes. Well, you know what? I want Long John Silver. So you go to
the everywhere restaurant.
Right, and it just serves
whatever
other people's food.
Whatever you want, we'll go and get it. But that's the thing, is you can't just have a Big Mac on hand for less, or for more than, what, 30 minutes?
Okay, so let's say, all right, where I live right now, there's, yeah, like, this huge, bushling smorgasbord of food. Like, there's a Burger King, a McDonald's,
yeah,
a Wendy's, a Taco Bell, a Pizza Hut, an Arby's.
Spangles.
A Spangles, which they don't know what that is.
Brahms.
A Brahms, probably don't know what that is.
I think that's about it.
There's got to be more restaurants.
Jimmy's Egg. Yeah. The
basically, there's
piece.
Every fast food place, yeah, and then there's a lot of, like, there's a breakfast place, there's, like, a sandwich place, there's a place that serves pizza tacos right here.
That's true.
There's a place that serves ice cream, you know, and it's all in this block area. So if we build a restaurant over there, like, when you order a hamburger at Red Robin, okay,
mm-hmm,
it takes 20 minutes to come out. So if we build a restaurant over there and someone's like, "I would like the double quarter pounder, please," we would have time to send one to McDonald's, order a double quarter pounder, and then bring it to the person.
Not today.
Also, this guy said it was stale.
Yeah.
Which means that they just had it in the back. They just went in the morning and they bought 60 buckets of chicken and they just warmed it up when it was ready to order.
Yeah. There's no way that could be legal.
Right. That's what I would, like, Popeyes would, you think that reselling Popeyes would be against
their code or something. Like,
I don't know how that works.
I don't either. I don't think there's any, like, terms and conditions.
I mean, is that part of the free market in America? Is you can kind of buy whatever you want, sell whatever you want?
Well, you know, they're doing those, like, delivery services now.
That would be kind of a case of it, yeah.
Whatever you want and deliver it to you. But
I mean, sure it's no different. I mean, if I had a computer store where I sold Apple MacBooks, and you came in and you bought a MacBook, and I sold it for $300 more, and when you bought it, I just went to the Apple store, got a MacBook, and then brought it to you.
Yeah.
That's the same thing, right?
Yeah. Yep. I guess if you pay the money for the chicken at the price that it is priced...
It's
and
just,
then resell it for more, then
the
you know,
rest
who's
of it,
gonna stop you?
The rest of it sounds really good, though. Like, homemade, like gumbo from a person who makes it homemade, that sounds awesome.
Yeah,
you know?
But how can you trust anything else?
Right, that's the problem. It's like, you got all this great source local food, and then
KFC.
The chicken is from Popeyes. Like, you couldn't find a family who made fried chicken. Like, you find someone who makes gumbo, but you can't find someone who makes chicken, so you
and
go to Popeyes.
And carnitas from probably what? A Chipotle? Best Mexican food in town, that Chipotle. Chipotle.
I mean, that's what's ridiculous about it. It's like this lady literally created a restaurant, and she's like, I know five good recipes. I'm just going to make a restaurant. I'm going to serve chicken. I love Popeyes. We'll just serve Popeyes chicken.
It's terrible.
And the fact that the guy saw a person walk into the kitchen holding a bag of Popeyes.
It's like they don't have a back door. Not at all.
Like, they weren't even trying to hide it, dude. Amazon Restoring. What's that mean?
Restaurant.
Amazon Restaurant.
Amazon Restaurante.
Dude, I think that'd be hilarious, though.
That'd be a good idea.
I mean, Popeyes is probably one of the only places you could do it. Like, I feel like Long John Silver's is another one. Like, you could sell fish, and you could just get Long John Silver's ahead. Because you couldn't get pizza because they're made to order, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like burgers would be hard because the buns would get hard when he reheated them. But, like, chicken pretty much reheats
pretty well.
Really easily.
Over the course of
you know?
Day, yeah. Definitely. That's stupid. Does it say anything about her, like, this is not legal?
It says, Sanchez's admission was at odds with the restaurant's earlier claim on his Facebook page that everything is made here, which you mentioned. Of course, the messaging has been amended to certify that most menu items are made from scratch, barring that darn chicken. We brought in. Popeyes has not responded to requests for comment regarding the legality of using his chicken as an ingredient without disclosing it to the customers on the menu. We'll update if the company gets back to us.
God, I just love when you see people break. You know, like Yelp's been around a good long time. Most of what Yelp is one-star bullshit crap.
Yes, I agree.
Of I had a bad experience once, so I'm going to bitch about it. But it's just like they had so much of that. And then this one came in, and then fucking Kim was like, I've had it! I'm responding to this bitch! You think you got us with your whole collusion between us and Popeyes? No! We are proud of that shit, and you can fuck off with your damn one-star review.
I really hate Yelp.
I really hate
Yelp. Like, I feel like the only people... No one goes on Yelp to leave a positive review. Ever.
No.
It's all just talking chit the entire time. Just the whole time. The restaurant's Yelp page is now congested with one-star reviews and passionate five-star defenses. Addison Articles prompted Sanchez to post a 583-word paragraph to Facebook yesterday morning that's since been edited heavily, wherein she incorrectly associated Addison with Food Beast and equates the level of vitriol she's received to a smear campaign against her business.
See? She snapped, man.
Look at how big that
is. That is so crazy.
That is ridiculously huge. I definitely found Sanchez's response questionable, Addison told Munchies over the phone late last Tuesday night. As I started filtering through comments on Facebook, I saw a number of responses from patrons who were largely concerned with where their food was coming from. I know that the internet thinks it's hilarious, but I think it's super serious. The restaurant is in a working-class neighborhood of downtown Long Beach, serving up southern food. What they're doing almost borders gentrification of food. Morris put a salt emoji. That's what everyone's salty.
Very salty.
That's what Yelp is. Yelp is just full of salt. It's the salt mines, dude. You're totally right about that.
It certainly has gotten way out of control.
It certainly has gotten way out of control, Sanchez wrote to Munchies. 2 months ago, I wanted to bring in fried chicken product for a biscuit sandwich, as my restaurant is centered around our biscuits, and nearly everything we do is made in-house. I have the ridiculous labor to show for that, but we don't have a lot of equipment, and I don't have a hood, so we can't fry.
So they've only been doing it for 2 months, though?
Sanchez explained that after sampling a number of potential products one night, she stopped by Popeye's to pick up dinner. She liked that chicken more than any other she tried, so she figured she would squeeze Popeye's chicken onto the restaurant's biscuit sandwich, a sandwich of house-made wasabi coleslaw and tomato jam.
See, that doesn't make sense either, because she said that she had it in Atlanta and was like, yeah, I know that this is the best chicken out there. But no, then she goes back and tries to source some new fried chicken and is like, oh, what's this Popeye's?
Well, maybe she liked Popeye's the best and she just realized she didn't need to source it. She could just run down the road to Popeye's.
That's ridiculous.
It isn't written on the menu since I'm not reselling the strips, Sanchez told Munchies. I am using them only as an ingredient in a menu item featuring our biscuit. She also claims the incoming incriminating text on the restaurant's about page on Facebook was written about 2 years ago when it was indeed true that all dishes were made in-house. If we can't make it from scratch, I intend to find the next best thing we include in the ingredient on our menu. Hopefully my customers appreciate that. I don't only bleed just like you all, but I have a staff. A woman who supports her kids. A guy trying to find an apartment. A college student paying her way through school. I love them as if they were my kids. Addison told Munchies that he's been vilified as a man trying to make a small take a small business down. I've gotten messages to the effect of, how dare you crucify a small business like this? He said over the past few days, quietly aggrieved. The argument doesn't hold too much sway to him. After all, Sanchez has made comments against patrons quite publicly, and the proof is in the pudding. Sanchez, though, is just waiting for this fracas to blow over. If the decisions were wrong or misleading to some, I wholeheartedly apologize. Fox News said it was a rant, and it's not. It's been covered by the national media.
Yeah.
We're on the brink of nuclear war and the earth is melting down, and Fox News is covering a restaurant in Long Beach, California that served Popeyes to its customers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, it's ridiculous. It's kind of ridiculous. But it's a lighter story, so maybe people were like, we're done with almost dying from nuclear bombs. Let's just rant at this lady who buys Popeye's chicken and serves it to customers claiming it's her own chicken and thinks that's all right.
How many other restaurants do you think are doing this? Do you think that there's restaurants that are doing this?
No, people want to be respected when they start a fucking restaurant.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't know, man.
They don't just get into it to just serve up all this different crap. They get into it because probably they're a chef or probably they know a chef. Or probably they have an idea of the type of food that they want to serve. And this lady just wants to own a fucking Popeyes franchise. That's all she wants. She would. I don't know why she wouldn't just close down this place and buy a fucking Popeyes. I love that chicken so goddamn much. I kind of
sympathize because, like, if she makes her biscuits in-house and that's what she's famous for.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I want to make a chicken sandwich with our biscuits. And, like, she can't fry in-house. Like, I could easily be like, let's just go to Popeye's and just buy chicken every morning. Like, I could see that happening.
You know what?
Because she's
honestly,
not like she's famous for
probably,
her chicken.
I agree. Like, one, we probably should never have heard of this stupid-ass story.
Yeah,
and
this
it
is,
should
this
never
is a story,
have been covered by Fox
yeah,
News.
Yeah, this is a story for our show.
Yeah.
It's the quality that you would expect from our show. Where right. We cover camel milk and Popeye's. All right? I didn't expect this to be next to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Covered by the national media. Yep. That's actually really the news story here is that that's what America cares about and not – like it's just embarrassing. Like Morris is from the UK and he's sitting here listening.
You ever heard
like,
of Philip DeFranco?
I know
he's a
of
YouTuber.
Him.
Yeah,
yeah. I know of him, yeah.
Yeah, this is where I heard this story. Okay. And it was on Friday. He was like, I know it's been a hard week, blah, 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 but let's look at this really interesting, random, stupid story that really doesn't affect, you know, our lives.
Right, but that's not how Fox News is going to frame it.
Yeah, but I don't know if, like, just everyone caught on was like, yeah, let's talk about this bitch serving up Popeyes. Like... It's just what catches the national eye.
Like if she put
all at the same time.
If she put Popeyes, like a little Popeyes logo by the biscuit, that's all it would take.
Yeah.
Because like Smashburger, you know, here, it's like they serve milkshakes and it's Haagen-Dazs and they just put a Haagen-Dazs logo by it. And they probably go to Dillon's and they buy, you know, or Kroger or whatever, and they just buy Haagen-Dazs in the carton and that's what they make it with.
Well, I think you can't legally for that.
Why?
Because then it looks like Popeyes is endorsing you. Like, you would need to get the permission to use the logo on your
Could you just say, with Popeye's chicken?
I mean...
Made with real Popeye's
maybe.
Chicken?
But that would... See, that would be an allure that would take customers from Popeye's away from Popeye's, because why not just get the Popeye's at this little
Dude,
fancy...
I don't know, man.
Homegrown...
I don't know.
Crap.
I know that tons of restaurants go to Sam's and buy stuff.
I remember hearing that she said that she tried to get a wholesale agreement signed with that Popeye's franchise, and they said no.
What a surprise.
So, yeah.
I don't know, man. I feel like people go to, like, Sam's Club or Costco and whatever. They just buy, you know, Tyson chicken by bulk, and that's how they serve it in restaurants. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't really know the difference between that and this, except that it was false advertisement.
Right.
It made it sound like it was made in place, but really she was just going. Right. But if she had said it's Popeye's chicken on a homemade biscuit,
mm-hmm.
I feel like no one would care.
No.
Because that's not out of the norm at all.
Right. If it was up front,
right.
No one. This would not be news. But it was the fact that it was not up front because she didn't want to pay the licensing fee for Popeye's, I'm sure. Or they wouldn't allow it.
They wouldn't allow it. I don't know, man. I'm just still mad at the guy who wrote the Yelp review. Mm-hmm. It's honestly, I believe everything of like.
Look at me, guys. Internet, look at me. Right. I have found a wronghood.
You know that he feels vindicated.
I am the knight in shining armor telling all these people.
And now he's going to go write reviews about other restaurants. He's like, I'm the famous
man. He'll probably get a job as a restaurant reviewer, man. This is what he does. He made national news. Why not just grab that shit up when you can, man?
What was his name?
Allison was the last name, I
Let's
feel
see.
Like.
Tyler H. So what's the name of the place?
That was Sweet Dixie
Sweet, Sweet Dixie Kitchen. All right, well, here's their website. First of all, that looks good.
Where's that Popeyes, man? I want to see it.
I mean, this looks pretty good, actually. Like,
yeah.
There's their waffles right there, man.
That chicken's in those waffles, though.
Milkshakes, lemonade. Okay, hold on. Sweet Dixie Kitchen, right?
Yeah.
Sweet Dixie Kitchen, Long Beach. Yelp. Here we go. I want to click this guy's Yelp review. Is being monitored by Yelp support team for content related for media reports. where do you see reviews at?
That's too funny.
Got it.
Active
thanks.
Cleanup alert, huh? Just because they were spamming the shit out of it?
And here I thought one had to know I'm about to cook and run a business order in my restaurant. I don't make the chicken. A friend makes the gumbo. Someone else makes the jam. Glad I can just go to Eddie Popeye's when I feel like having some chicken. Chef hard at work baking the fresh waffles.
Fresh imported Eggo waffles.
This is why I hate Yelp.
Yeah.
Like, that is not useful.
There's another one down. Somebody made a t-shirt, it looked like.
Popeye's Gate.
Oh, my fucking God, no. Popeye's Gate? It's coming to this? Ugh. Terrible. That broke my fucking... No. No way. It's not at gate level yet.
Dude, that's so dumb, dude. Waffle Witch. They serve Popeye's chicken. Buyer beware.
Yeah, no fucking shit.
I mean, look at these huge things. This guy is literally just talking about, after dining here and seeing the response of the owner or manager, this place is deserving of a one-star review. Using other restaurants' food, not informing your guests about it, and overcharging your guests for its cardinal sin in the restaurant energy. Bland food, and even worse, it's fast food and it's not cooked on site. If people wanted to eat Popeyes, they would go eat at Popeyes. Instead, we decided to come here because we believed we were getting freshly cooked food. That was the recipe of this restaurant. That isn't the case. If you're going to sell another restaurant's product, inform your guests and don't try to market it as your own. Deplorable! And the response to it here from the manager owner is disgusting, kind of like the food here. Kevin S., why don't you die in a fire, dude?
Yeah, like, I mean, they're not just being like, here's a bucket of chicken.
Right.
Upcharged. You want your chicken? Here's a bucket of fried chicken. No, it's like she said, I mean, I get it. It's an ingredient in something else. So you can't just say everything's outsourced like a big old bitch. You can say that I don't like the fact that you didn't let us know that Popeye's was the chicken you're serving. But then again, who fucking cares?
Right, well, look at this lady from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. All right? Literally the geographical opposite of Long Beach, California. Okay? Kimberly Sanchez, you pretty much admitted that your restaurant, in quotes, cooks absolutely nothing and pre-orders almost the whole menu. That's it. That was her review. It's like...
Do you know?
Are you a...
Have you been there?
How dumb are you?
Did you actually try the food?
To think that when you go to a restaurant... you think that they're slaughtering cows and grinding the beef and cooking the beef in the restaurant? No, they're getting a food truck from Sysco that shows up mm-hmm. that has frozen beef patties, and that's why they're making your food. Yeah. Every restaurant in the history of restaurants, with very few limited high-class, high-end restaurant exceptions,
right.
orders their food in bulk,
oh, yeah.
frozen, from a distributor. because no tiny mom and pop restaurant is making their own food from scratch in the back.
Definitely
you can't,
not mom and pop.
You can't physically do it.
No way. Completely agreed. Yet all these people are like, I want me to be heard. Look at me. Look at, hey.
Right. That's
hey,
what it is. It's all yub. Look at
hey,
me. Look,
look at me. And my opinion on things. That's kind of what I'm doing on the show. But look at me.
Yeah, but we don't make any bones about it.
Yeah.
We don't make any bones about it. Like, there's 42 pages of reviews on here.
I get it both ways. Like, if I went to a restaurant, ordered a chicken sandwich, and it came to be Popeyes, I would be like, what the hell is going on here? But I wouldn't go to Yelp and be like, egregious!
Well, especially if you didn't, like, if we could literally leave a review right now, here it is. Here's the guy. Here's the original review. I just want to see what else he wrote.
Oh, buddy, look at this man.
Okay, let's see what else he wrote here. All right, let's look at his review of Fig and Olive in Newport Beach. My fiance and I came here right after I popped the question. Our server was initially amazing. He was quite nice and promised us a free dessert. Sadly, as the restaurant got busier, this did not materialize. We thoroughly enjoyed the cheese plate, but found the main course is a bit of a letdown. The bigger issue was, why didn't we see our waiter again for quite some time? We finally had to flag someone down to give us the check. We ended up being late to our engagement party because of the service.
So he's complaining that the restaurant was busy?
Yeah. The world didn't revolve around him, Colby. It's a huge deal, okay?
Because it was his engagement dinner.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
He had recently popped the question.
Right.
So the waiter showed up. He goes, what you guys doing today? And he's like, well, 3 or 4 days ago, you know, I proposed to my fiance here. And he's like, oh, that's great, man. I can get you a free dessert. And then he gets busy, doesn't give any crap about your life or your fiance, all right? He doesn't care. He's going to go home to a studio apartment and look at a razor blade for the next 8 hours. That's what he's going to do. He doesn't care about you, Tyler H.
Yeah, that's sheer just fucking... What is it? What's the word I'm looking for? Just self...
Douche. Self-centered. Yeah. Narcissist.
Yes.
Thinks the world revolves around him.
Yes.
King Shabu Shabu. The first place that I tried hot pot was in China, so my experience at King Shabu Shabu has to be taken with a grain of salt. While there wasn't anything specifically wrong with the food or service, I found the overall experience lacking. The food lacked any kind of flavor. The sauces were also slightly lacking. One highlight was the shrimp, which were better quality than I thought they would be. So that's a 3-star review of King Shabu Shabu. And then there's Sweet Dixie Kitchen. You know, that's the one he did there. You know,
that's it? He's only done 3?
He's only done 4 reviews. His other one is a 5-star review right here. I've been to this delicious small cafe on 3 occasions, and I have never been disappointed. The churros are the best I've ever had. Especially recommend the churros with guava and cream cheese.
So
the very first review he left was Sweet Dixie Kitchen.
Oh, and then he's like,
and
oh
then,
my God,
then
I'm
he
about
caught
to
on,
be a fucking
right,
Yelp star.
Right.
Let me start going to different places and leaving my thoughts.
That's what
on
he's
the
doing.
Matter.
That's exactly what he's doing. He joined in September of 2005, but he had left his first review of the Sweet Dixie Kitchen. There you go. Let's see. Look at the dates. So 10/7/2017. So he left this review on 10/9/2017, 10/11/2017, 10/11/2017. Yeah, so he left 3 reviews.
Jeez.
2 days after his one on Sweet Dixie Kitchen. That's the only time he's left reviews. So it's all totally a sham to get, like, now he's like, I'm famous now,
yeah.
I'm gonna write some more reviews. Like, that's why he dropped that he got recently engaged. And
poor woman. Good luck. Good luck.
Dude, if you go to a restaurant and you get mad at your waiter because he doesn't care about your engagement, you're an awful person.
you need a reality check. Yeah, you need to get gut punched.
Right.
And be like, oh, wait, whoa, pain? What? I could get hurt for things, stupid shit that comes out my mouth? Wow. What? Maybe I should not say as much stupid shit.
People, dude. Just people, dude.
Yeah, when you bash other people's, like, money, when you fuck with their money, that, I don't know. That's when it gets, like, if you hurt people physically, even though I just condone punching them in the gut.
I thought that was a metaphor.
Yeah. Yeah, metaphor. When you hurt people physically or fuck with their financials, income.
You know, yeah.
I feel like you're a terrible person. That's just definition of terrible.
Well, and like the thing is like Yelp is all full of reviews about people who just don't. Like all of his reviews, like I mean, I think it goes to show, like he wrote this 1-star negative review, and then he wrote a 3-star negative review, a 3-star negative review, and then he wrote this place that he obviously loves.
Mm-hmm.
Like I bet he knows the person who works there or something. Like there's no way he did this completely altruistic, you know. Oh, no, man.
Motherfucker.
I just don't understand. I'm just glad Yelp doesn't really exist in Kansas because I feel like I'd be enraged.
Yeah.
I mean, like, look at this photo.
I don't have that.
This is a photo from Ian L. Okay? Like, that is, like, a magazine photo.
That's pretty, yeah.
It's a pretty dang good photo.
I don't
photo.
Know if that's, like, the new iPhones, you know... portrait mode.
I took it on my Lisa.
Or if he actually brought a DSLR to this restaurant and take pictures of people eating outside. But.
Well, he has 491 reviews. He's an elite user of Yelp.
Jesus.
God, we're going down the Yelp. He was in a Yelp elite for 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, and 11. I mean, this guy I kind of respect. Because he probably leaves a review. Looks like he reads a well written review.
Real quick, he's only left 3 1 stars over the course of 5 years.
Right, 197 5 stars, 194 stars, 82 3 stars, 19 2 stars, 3 1 stars. That seems well balanced. You know.
Yeah, you go to the other guys. 1 1 star. 2 3 stars,
right.
1 5 star. Like, your opinions are just you bitching or you sucking on somebody's dick.
Like, if I go back to the Sweet Dixie Kitchen, for example, and, like, I click on the review from the Fort Lauderdale lady as soon as Yelp will let me.
Oh, they're actively monitoring this.
Yeah,
this
you
is
gotta,
situation.
You got it.
Guy.
Like, where's the Fort Lauderdale girl at? Right.
The small one.
Yeah, I was, like, down here somewhere.
Right there.
Right here. Like, if I go to Liana M here.
23 reviews.
Yeah, see, look at her.
Holy shit!
She has written 3 5 stars, 2 4 stars, 1 3 stars, 17 1 star reviews. Like, she uses Yelp to bash places.
Yeah.
That's all she's doing.
And one of her reviews is Subway.
Look at this. Horrible customer service. The prices are outrageous for a footlong. Will not be coming back. House of Horror, Haunted Carnival. House of Horror is going downhill. First off, no one answers emails or phone calls. They don't even reply on Facebook. You know, if someone is interested in a job working for the House of Horror, I would think they would want to reply. The prices for this small park is ridiculous. And now after canceling the Phantasma Music Festival, there will be less people than already going inside.
She's trying to get a job there?
That's what it sounded like, yeah. It's like she wrote them asking for a job and they didn't reply.
You know what I always wanted to do with my life? You know what career direction I want to go in? I want to work at the House of Horrors.
Dude, look at this next review. This is ridiculous. Burger King, all right? One time I went here, and the girl apparently doesn't know how to count change because I got my money back. Totally got a free meal. 1 star.
And you're bitching about that on the internet?
She got a free meal, and she gave it 1 star.
Yeah, this is the epitome of terrible Yelp users right here. Just...
like, there could be a turd on her burger, and she can't complain because it was free!
God, I hate Yelp. Yeah, the 4 square thing, I get it. Like, if you have, like, a little, like, get this dish because it's good, perfectly fine. I'm okay with that. Don't order this dish because it's got semen on it.
Right.
I don't know. That's fucking fine, too. But when you write a paragraph, a short story about your fucking interactions with the wait staff, or I just, like, you're telling me that they're literal assholes, they do this to everyone, or are you just a sensitive bitch? Like, what's
yeah,
the
so
situation
she's just
here?
She's just a jerk, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Like, she's just a negative person. She'd be perfect on the internet, dude.
Oh, yeah, man. That's why I don't like Yelp, is because I'm sure 80%... of its user base, it uses it to bitch about when they didn't get something they wanted.
It's literally Morris Minor salt emo.
Rather than actual reviews and helpful, like, if you're going here,
Right,
get
that's
this.
Why I love Foursquare, because it asks you what's good here. Mm-hmm. If you don't have anything good, you don't put anything.
Right.
Like, I literally used it this morning when I went out to lunch, because it's nice out. Me and Chris went to go to a place with a patio. So I hit lunch, and then I filtered by outdoor seating, and it brought up all the places with outdoor seating, and it was ranked by people who mention how great their outdoor seating is. That's it. That's all I did. Foursquare was great for that. And you can do it for anything. Like, if you want a good taco, you can type in tacos, and it rates it by the people with tips that mention their tacos the mm-hmm. most. You know, that's how it works.
So much better than having a sanctum for assholes to go and spread their shit on the internet.
Like, how is Burger King even allowed to be Yelp reviewed?
I don't know.
Like, Burger King isn't a fine dining establishment.
No, and you can't expect your shit to come out like
right.
gourmet when you're
it's
going
Burger
to
King,
Subway.
Man. The people
like,
there make $7 an hour.
What the fuck do you expect,
right.
you dumbass? Lower your life's expectations. Holy shit. I can't.
She's complaining.
I can't do
and
it.
And it was free. It was free, chat. It was free. How can you complain about something that's free? This show is free. You could complain about it. We will listen to your complaints. But ultimately, we could middle finger you and walk away because you don't have to watch or listen to our show.
Yep. Yep. No, when somebody is, gets wrong done to them, they
right.
feel like there's they need
they deserve
to
the
get
best
it out
right, and they weren't treated the way they deserve. Do you need to make sure everyone knows that this place shat on them?
Stupid dude.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. All right, well, let's move on to something else then.
that was a long rabbit trail.
Yeah, we went down the Yelp rabbit trail. Okay, man, you want to talk about this? Because I don't care at all. I don't know anything about it,
dude. Okay.
Jared Leto confirms involvement in Tron 3.
Here's another movie.
Never seen
where,
a Tron.
Where I'd like the whole world is like it sucked, and I'm like it was good.
Hmm.
The first Tron, not the first. There was the Tron from like 1980 or
right.
Whatever
the Tron
the
Legacy. Now the was Tron that a Legacy. Reboot or a sequel? Or was it both?
Kind of both.
Okay,
because yeah.
I remember Jeff Bridges was in it. Yeah,
uh-huh. But
he was in the original Tron, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He was focused on his son this time, and then Olivia Wilde in it, I believe.
Okay.
And the only bad thing about it was they CGI'd Jeff Bridges' face to be younger for the bad guy.
Okay, that's weird.
Because the bad guy is like a clone of him that he made to help him work on the system, but then it's an AI, so then it's like, we don't need the users or whatever, so then it just turns evil. So, other than the fact that it came out, when did the IMAX open? 2009, probably?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Ish in that area?
That sounds about right, yeah.
That's when it came out. It was one of the first 3D movies, other than Avatar, that I saw in the IMAX.
Okay.
Because, no, they didn't have the IMAX when Avatar came out. So it was one of the first 3D
right.
movies I saw in
it,
the
it
IMAX.
It might have been the
here.
First movie shown at the
I
IMAX.
I think it may have been. It
that sounds right,
close.
Dude.
Also, badass soundtrack.
Right.
All by Daft Punk.
About to play it right now.
Oh, it's so good. I listen to this just working. Because it's a really...
This song right here.
Muted.
The beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Right here.
It's so good.
I used to play... This guy used to work with Brian.
Yeah.
We used to play this before every meeting that we would do. Like, we wanted to get in the zone. We'd, like, pump this up in the office.
Yeah, man.
The grid.
Jeff Bridges yeah. just on here.
Because,
getting down.
Well, there's a joke here, okay, because I was a web designer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we pioneered at our company responsive web design where everything's built to desktop, the iPads, and the phones.
Right.
And so I laid out this grid, a responsive web grid that's 12 byte, 12 columns across.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept referring to the grid, make sure it aligns to the grid. And he worked for me. And so, like, as to razz me, because he watched Tron, I had no idea, and he mm-hmm. loves this soundtrack, he brought this song to meetings because it starts.
Bum, bum, dum, bum, bum, dum, bum.
And he would quote this.
The grid. A digital frontier.
Digital frontier.
I tried to picture clusters of information as they move through the computer.
Meow.
Highways.
What did they look like?
Yeah.
Ships. Motorcycles.
Motorcycles.
Were the circuits like freeways?
There you go.
I kept dreaming of a world I thought I'd never see.
And then one day.
And then.
I got
one
in.
One day.
Yep.
I got in.
Mernier! I can't tell you how funny that is hearing that again. Like, we're in a, like, you've been in that office. You remember those little glass boxes that we were, like, we would bring in, like, a Beats box, and we'd crank it up to full blast, and we would just be in there, because you can't hear out.
Yeah.
But as soon as, like, the burn air, like, you would hear it across the office, and we'd just be in there laughing. Oh, God, I can't believe I wasn't fired.
It's so good.
It is good.
Anyway, so yeah.
Okay, so
I
at the least
the
you're going to get more of that, right?
Yes, I like. Well, if I mean, Daft Punk comes back, that'd
I would
be great.
Assume, right?
That'd be great.
Disney's
they also
like,
made
here's
a little
bag of
cameo
money.
Of it, but yeah.
Really, they were in the
yeah,
movie.
They were in it. They okay. had a club scene, and they were the DJs.
Okay, that's all right, I guess.
But I liked it. It was good. The CGI was great. I liked the tone of it. I liked the whole light business with their the outfits they wore and like the environment.
Just for like math's sake, so
scenarios.
Tron. Okay, Tron came out in 82.
Ooh.
Okay.
Got it.
Tron Legacy came out in
2010. Yep.
So that's like what, 28 years?
Yeah.
28 years in between the movies. And then Tron 3 will probably come out, what, 2020?
Mm, yeah.
So it's 10 years in between that one. Doesn't that make you feel old?
Yes. Yes, it does.
That, like, there was 30 years between the first and the second one, and the first one's ancient.
The first one is terrible.
And then there's a third of that time has already passed between
like
that one and the next one.
One of the first movies that did not have any sets, really, because all of it was
digital.
CG.
Yeah, well, you know what?
It was really bad back then.
You gotta give them credit for trying.
Yeah,
at least,
though,
I guess.
Right? Yeah.
Well, that's one of the ones that's famous for, like, the motorcycle bike scenes, right? Like, with all the things. First is a classic, Chad says. Morris says first is a classic.
I just could not deal with it.
Is this a screenshot right here? I've never seen any of them.
I feel like
all
that's
right?
Jeff Bridges.
It might be. I mean, 30 years ago, dude. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen any of the Trons, including Legacy. I have heard the soundtrack, but only because of the lol factor.
Yeah, but, there's Daft Punk. Go back up.
Right here?
Yeah, that would be them.
I mean, it looks sweet. Like,
oh, yeah, the design.
It looks awesome.
The art direction, I loved.
Yeah. Now, why has Jared Leto got to be in it?
Because he's starring in Blade Runner, and now there are people like, oh, he's a crazy-looking...
Oscar winner Jared Leto has confirmed his involvement in a reboot of Disney's Tron franchise after earlier reports linking him to the project emerged. However, Leto, currently starring in Blade Runner 2049, said that things were still in the early days in terms of boarding yet another 80s-influenced project. It was a huge movie for me as well, and I do think there's so much potential in that world. There's so much left to be said, Leto said in an interview with Collider. I'm absolutely game to try and help in any way that I can bring that to life. It's something that we're in discussions about, and I very much looking forward to bringing it to reality. It's very early days, though. No writer or director is attached at present, although Tron Legacy co-producer Justin Springer is involved with Leto, and his partner Imre Ludbrook is also in talks to produce. Disney had planned a sequel to 2010's Legacy, which followed up the 1902 original, and saw Sam Flynn trying to rescue his father, Kevin, the Jeff Bridges character, from the virtual reality world known as The Grid.
Yeah, that was a plot of Legacy.
He is supposed to return to direct the third chapter, Tron Ascension, but the studio ended up shelving the project. It is unknown whether Kosinski will return for the reboot, but the earlier report suggests that the new film with Leto is being built out of the source code of the deleted Tron 3 script, with Leto playing Ares, who had a key role in that script. So it's a reboot.
So
it's
Chad,
not a sequel.
Chad, have you seen the Legacy one? What was your opinion on that one, if you liked the first one? Because that's the thing that I think... I never saw the first Tron.
Right.
And then when I saw Legacy, I was like, hey, this is a cool art direction, you know? Like,
right.
I like the
it
style
looks sweet.
Of it.
Music
and
looks sweet.
Music's awesome. Like, you got me there. Jeff Bridges is Jeff Bridges a shit in
right.
the movie. So I was like, oh, you got me there.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges is awesome.
And
with you, yep.
I gotcha. Well, go and watch it. I recommend it. The internet probably does not. And if you like the first one, it may not hold up exactly with that. But I like the take on it, even though I've never seen the first one. So,
yeah, well, it looks like the next one is going to be a reboot.
So well, that's stupid. They should continue the plot and not just do the exact same thing we saw in 2010.
I don't know, man. It says it only made $400 million worldwide, which isn't that much money.
Yeah.
So maybe they're rebooting it because not enough people saw the second. Like, I feel that's the new Hollywood way. Like, you make a sequel, oh, no one saw it, so let's reboot it for the first time. That way people don't have to go back and watch the first movie.
I don't know. That's dumb. If it's the same story with the same characters, because Jeff Bridges.
So is the entire plot of the movie like in a virtual world, like you jack in? Okay. Mm-hmm. So is that going to be like Ready Player One? So like the can comparisons be made? Like obviously aesthetically it's way different, but isn't that kind of the same plot? Like doesn't Ready Player One take place in a virtual world?
Yeah, but the only difference that I would say is Ready Player One, like the lower class of individuals are given this virtual world where literally he only creates it for the Flynn character.
Okay.
Jeff is like the only one that's ever been in it until his son goes in it in the movie.
I don't know, man. It's weird to think of all these 80s reboots. Like Blade Runner just came out and then we got Tron, and it's like all of these movies like take place in today's era. Mm-hmm. Like in the 80s they were set today.
Right.
And besides being able to broadcast live to the internet, there ain't no grid. You know, I mean, the world hasn't fallen apart into a post-apocalyptic wasteland like in Blade Runner. Like, the first Blade Runner, like, took place in 2021 or something like that.
I think, yeah.
Like, let's see here. Blade Runner. Like, 2049. Like, we're going to live to see 2049, dude.
It's probably not going to look like that fucking movie.
No, it definitely won't, because that movie is apparently beautiful. And I guarantee you 2049 will probably look like a wasteland. Let's see here. The original Blade Runner... How come it doesn't say? Why do they gotta bone me, dude?
I don't know.
Blade Runner.
Here I don't know.
2019. Dystopian Los Angeles in 2019. So the original Blade Runner takes place in 2 years from now. But like back in the 80s, that was a long time.
Yeah.
You know, like 40 years. A lot can happen in 40 years. Well,
not
guess
that
what?
Much.
Nothing happened.
Nope. That's funny.
Like, you think Harrison Ford, like, literally think about this. Harrison Ford in Blade Runner.
Yeah.
He goes and he's like, God, 2019, man, that's crazy. Uh-huh. What's the world going to be like?
What am I going to be doing?
Yeah, what am I going to be doing? And then it turns out he's just in the friggin' sequel to Blade Runner. That's what he's doing.
And what did he do before that? Star Wars again.
I'm in a time loop!
Groundhog years, man! I'm on repeat.
Like, what if
when
Harrison
is this going to end?
What if Harrison Ford somehow lives to 2049 and he's in the next Blade Runner?
God, that would be the dumbest thing. He'd be like, "Nope, I don't care. No more money. I don't need it." I really
hope Harrison Ford lives that long. To be honest with you, that'd be great. He's a national treasure.
Oh yeah,
yeah, man. He's just a grumpy old dude, and I love it because I've never seen anyone who hates how handsome and famous they are more than Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he hates that he's Harrison Ford, but at the same time, he loves everything that comes with being Harrison Ford, like being able to crash your plane onto a golf course and nothing happening. You know, like, I feel like he loves that part of it, but he hates going on talk shows, and he hates going and hanging out with Star Wars nerds at Comic Cons, because he doesn't want to do that. He just wants to fly his plane and sit at home and drink scotch, you know, because he's Harrison Ford.
I guess. I don't know what he wants to do. Like, I feel like reliving your Han Solo role from more than 20 years ago would be, like, on the bucket list kind of thing.
Right, and he hated it.
And then he was like, how much are you paying me?
Well, it's like that famous thing. It was like when Jimmy Fallon, I think it was Jimmy Fallon, asked him, like, what did it feel like when you put that Han Solo suit on again? Uh-huh. And he's like, it felt like getting paid. Like, this is just like he doesn't care at all.
I mean, Sam Jackson's kind of the same way. They have, like, a running, like, rivalry, kind of, as to, like, the top grossing movies. Like,
Harrison Ford wins because Sam Jackson is quantity over quality.
They were very right, but they were close until Star Wars came out again, though, Force Awakens. It made Solo look like an idiot. Win.
Like the new Solo? Is that what you mean? The new Han Solo? Or the old Han Solo? I don't know. The Han Solo in The Force Awakens is like the first time I've seen Harrison Ford talk at full volume in 30 years.
Oh, for sure. I'd seen like a couple other crap movies that he was in.
Like, did you see like the latest Indiana Jones? Like, he talked like this the entire movie.
Yes.
It's like, I'm just here to get a paycheck, man. Mm-hmm. Just here for Steven Spielberg because he asked me. That's the only reason I'm here. And then he's like actual Han Solo voice in The Force Awakens. I'm like,
Disney.
How do they do that?
So I'm assuming The Force Awakens.
Yeah, Force Awakens. Yeah. I don't know, man.
I mean, he is kind of dumb. He's like, oh, yeah, this droid that the First Order wants, I'm just going to keep it in clear view of these Ravengers that are probably going to recognize
Remember
it.
How he lost Millennium Falcon for 30 years and then found it right at the beginning of the movie?
Yep.
How convenient is that, dude?
Yep. He had a bigger crew, and then he let them all die from Raptors.
Yep.
He went up to his lightsaber-wielding son and was like, you're not going to kill
me. Like, he's actually kind of a loser, you know, now that you think about it, like in The Force Awakens. Like,
right. He's just been doing the same shit.
Yeah, well, and he let his entire crew die, you know. He has pissed off every person in the galaxy because he doesn't pay his debts, even though he's obviously incredibly wealthy.
Oh, yeah.
And he could just write a check. He just doesn't, you know. And he left Princess Leia after the whole thing they went through in the original trilogy, but because he I don't know.
For some reason.
He's got to leave, I guess, because he's Han Solo. He can't be tied down. You know, he's got debts he can't pay. You know, that whole thing.
Children wouldn't do that at all.
Yeah, he was a terrible father. Uh-huh. You know, his child literally turned into the next Darth Vader.
Yeah.
So that's epic failure. I mean, there's really nothing in his life he did right.
You know?
He never shot Chewbacca's crossbow gun
in the
45 years that he'd known Chewbacca. You know, or the 55, 65 years, however old he is.
Here's where the fucking stipulations for the Star Wars come in.
Yeah, man, it just starts falling apart.
It was great when you have an hour and 30 minutes to just watch, and then if you don't think about it ever again,
just don't think
about
it.
You're good. But then if you start analyzing what you actually saw and, like, why these characters are doing what they're doing, then, you kind of figure out that Han Solo is a dummy.
Well, I mean, we did that. Well, I think I did that. Because we did an episode, our 1 year, our one episode requirement a year in 2016, where all we did was talk about The Force Awakens. We did a massive breakdown of it. And you were still in the basking glory of how great it was. And I just kept asking you questions that broke the plot. And you couldn't answer them. And that's because the movie doesn't really make a lot of sense. That's the perfect descriptor. It's a great movie if you go in there, just watch and eat what you're given, and then never think about what it was.
It's a very good eye entertaining flick, but the brain part of it,
which is my biggest problem with Star Wars, is the lore and the expanded universe doesn't make any sense.
It's not just Star Wars anymore. It's everything. It's Marvel. It's DC.
It's not everything.
It is, though.
It's not The Witcher.
That's different. It's a TV show produced by Netflix, the one company that's giving artists,
creative
brain to actually be artists. But, like, I was watching some guy,
what about Avatar, man?
Guys that really want to make movies, and they're kind of getting bigger. They just did a TV show, and now they're moving up. And one of their dreams was always to do a Star Wars film. But then they just came to the realization that they're never going to get to do a Star Wars film because they would want to do something different.
Yeah, they want to do something meaty.
The studios only want the cookie-cutter thing that's going to make them the same money that they made off
The
Force
Awakens. Think about the things that have the greatest lore. Yeah. Like a lot of video games right now have great lore, and then a lot of books have great, like Lord of the Rings is an example, you know.
Oh yeah.
And that's what's so ironic about Star Wars is that they had so many books for Star Wars that filled out backstories in great ways. So many people have their favorite Star Wars stories were some of the books. And then they just got rid of them.
It's not like you had to pay for the rights to them, right?
Right. They just decided that it was too hard. Yeah, it's just too hard to keep up. That was what they decided. They didn't want to be held down by those stories that a lot of fans thought were perfect.
Yeah.
They just threw them out so they could make up their own backstories that were easier and, I'm guessing, more eye-catching than what the books would provide.
Yeah, I mean, even in Return of the Jedi back then, like, I heard that they really wanted to turn Luke evil by the end of it.
Right.
And, like, not a good
Jedi.
They go into that in
Shadows of the Empire, book that between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. It's one of my favorite books.
Really?
Like, I don't think it's canon anymore.
Yeah.
But there's this guy in it that's like, what's his name? I don't remember his name. But he's this green dude. And the whole movie centers around this bounty hunter named Dash Rendar, who Lucas liked the character so much, he put in the special editions of A New Hope, he put Dash Rendar's ship flying out of Mos Eisley as, like, an Easter egg. So, like, he even liked the book. Like, George Lucas is like, this is a cool story. And it involves, like, it covers Luke's training in between The Empire Strikes Back, forging his new lightsaber, all of that type of stuff.
I gotcha.
It covers, like, how IG-88 died, like, why you see his body, like, get a scrap heap in Empire, like, in Jabba's palace in Return of the Jedi. It, like, covers what happens to Boba Fett, you know, hunting down Han Solo in between, you know, taking him to Jabba between, you know, The Empire Strikes Back. And it feels this huge, like, what feels like a 10-year gap in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, where all of a sudden Leia's also this badass bounty hunter all of a sudden. And, you know, there's all this stuff that happens, and Lando's there, and how they infiltrate it. And it fills in all those gaps. And that's just not canon anymore.
Right. And then without that, you just get the fact that Luke had this dumbass plan to send two droids into Jabba's palace to gauge
his... He just got real lucky.
And then Lando's just there for backup. Because we all know we're going to put on a smaller barge and fed to a random beast machine.
The Sarlacc is just there.
I don't know. But then there's dumb stuff about Star Wars, too. Like especially the prequels are bad, but
right,
you know, the Death Sticks guy in number two.
You want to buy some Death Sticks?
Yeah. You know what his fucking name is?
No.
It's just the dumbest name. I Scumbaggery is, I think, his last name or some crap like that. You can look it up, like Death Stick character name Star Wars, and tell me what that dumbass character name is, because it's pretty bad.
Elon Acel Sabagno?
Maybe.
This guy right here?
Sleazebagno.
Oh, Sleazebagno. That's what it is.
Sleazebagno.
But see, this is what
good,
I love.
Good name.
He was a Balasar medical student on Coruscant who fell in with a bad crowd. He eventually became a Slythemonger and dealt death sticks in the Outlander Club in the Uscrew Entertainment District. Like, there is more description about Sleazebagians, the character, than there is about Maz.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem that I have with the new Star Wars.
I mean, you can't really give it that because Yoda's, what species is Yoda? He's Yoda's species.
No, he has a species, dude.
No.
Yeah, man.
No.
He does.
Just go to Yoda. Yoda.
Right here, Yoda. Let's see. It's a good picture of him.
Species. Yoda's species. Yeah.
Really?
Nothing, man. That's the one thing that they haven't talked about. It's weird.
David F. Glutz's novelization of the Star Wars Empire 5, the Empire Strikes Back, referred to Yoda as an elf.
An elf, huh?
Lucas joked that Yoda was the illegitimate child of Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy.
Oh, that's great.
That's George Lucas that said
George
that, dude.
Lucas that
That's
said
George
that,
Lucas that said that, dude.
Yeah. Luke, you must finish your training before
it's
you...
It's just so dumb, dude.
You go off. Don't. Ye must not Yoda speak. I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't know. It's not Yoda. I'll tell you that right now.
It was supposed to be Kermit. That's what it was supposed to be.
Oh, okay. It's a little better as Kermit. I don't know, dude. I'm telling you. It's just... I don't know, man. It's just that's the reason I can't
get onto this.
That's the reason I can't get into Star Wars anymore. Mm-hmm. Is because there's no meat. To
right
it.
There will not.
Like you
be.
Can't get lost in the world of mm-hmm. Star Wars anymore for me.
I mean, the closest thing that you got was the art direction book that came out, and that was the only thing.
Right.
But then they used to have like dictionary books
yes.
for each episode, and they went
and novelizations
in-depth.
That had in-depth stories.
Yeah.
Like I remember. I think the last Star Wars book I read was Attack of the Clones. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to be big into Star Wars. I'd read all the books. Like, I read the novelization of Attack of the Clones. I fit it because they come out like a week or two before the movies.
Yeah.
And so I speed ran it. I read the whole thing in like a week. It's like this thick. I was in like, I don't know, seventh or eighth grade or something. Read the entire book. And then I went and saw the movie, and I was disappointed in the movie because the book was so much better.
Right.
Because there was so much stuff in, like, I was like, I can't wait to see this scene on the big screen. Mm-hmm. And then it's not in the movie at all. And that disappointed me, so I stopped reading the books because it was a letdown.
Right.
And that's why personally I think video games are the next storytelling medium because they can make them as long
yeah.
as they want, and I think that's huge. And the problem is it's not accessible.
Yeah.
But a 300-hour story in a movie wouldn't be accessible either, so I don't know how you solve that problem. I'm just glad that they're there for people
yeah.
like me. But like the thing is like there's no Star Wars video games that would fill in the gaps like that.
Right.
Like at least like Shadow of Mordor. Like the new Shadow of War game that came out, it had a whole, like, one of the main characters is Shelob the Spider.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 16 or 17 mini collectibles that just tell, like, in a movie format, show the story of Shelob and how she got tricked by Sauron and hidden her spider form in order to escape. And now she kind of partners with the orcs to, you know, steal things and take care of enemies and stuff. And it's like, that's a really awesome backstory.
Right.
That's technically now canon because those games are canon. That wasn't covered in the book, you know? And that's Lord of the Rings, which has books that has enough backstory. You don't need extra backstory,
yeah.
you know? And I think I was telling you about it because I was telling you the plot of Shadow of War and, like, how the game ends after the One Ring is destroyed. And I'm like, if they make another game and it happens after the One Ring, like, that's going to be the first thing we ever see that's happening after
yeah.
Lord of the Rings happens. Yeah. Everything else is way before. It's like the first age or the second age. You know, it's all that stuff. And this is going to be the fourth age that never happened. I can't wait to see that stuff.
That
it's going to
be
awesome.
Crazy. Aragorn should be king, right?
Right. That's the thing. That's going to be... Because even in the movies, like, it skips forward 100 years or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you just see people leaving. That's all you get,
yeah.
you know? But what happens to Middle-earth afterwards? You know?
I mean, I don't even know how long.
It's like Game of Thrones the same way. Like, how much you would... I would kill for an open-world Game of Thrones video game.
Yeah.
Where you could go in there and absorb yourself in the world.
That'd be nuts.
That'd be awesome. I mean, you've watched the Telltale games because of that reason, where it's kind of side characters. And technically they're canon. It fills in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's nothing like that for Star Wars. Like, the Star Wars we get is Battlefront.
Right.
And we're getting the plot between... In one game... We're getting 30 years of Star Wars story told through a character that didn't exist before.
And it was only an add-on because the first game people bitched about not having it, so they're like, all right, we'll put something together.
It's such a waste of a great franchise that they just can't seem to get right for the person who really likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the audience for that are super nerds, and it seems like that's the one audience they don't care about.
Yeah, they don't care about that. They care about the kids buying toys.
Exactly. That's why Porg exists.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. I don't know.
The toys are like, I'm sure you can make it for no money, and then you make $30 off of a kid's parents buying it for them. 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks. I mean, that sucks that Star Wars has been turned into that, but then again, Return of the Jedi got changed the ending because if they made it happier, they thought they would sell more toys.
Between Return of the Jedi and A New Hope, The Force Awakens, which was a Freudian slip because it was the same movie, but like, there's hundreds of thousands of pages of books that you can read that'll scratch the itch. Like, okay, Return of the Jedi wasn't that great, all right? But the thing with Star Wars is that previous to Disney buying them, you didn't have just the movies to like.
Yeah.
You had all these other things. Like, the people who are really into the fandom could go...
Well, like, Star Wars The Old Republic was really well-received.
Right. Exactly.
It's completely out of time.
Well, there's this game, Jedi Outcast, and Shadows... There's some other one. Dark Forces with Chris Kattarn, Kyle Kattarn, who is just like this guy who went to the Jedi Temple, trained with Luke, and realized that the Force wasn't for him, and so he left. And like, he didn't go bad. He just decided he turned away religion. He's like, this isn't for me. This type of
Which is kind of, I feel like, what they're doing with Luke at this point.
A little bit, yeah. And I think that's part of the problem is that they're taking some of the fan favorite things from the extended universe and just applying them to another character. And that doesn't really work. Because, like, these characters, like, Kyle Katarn's first game came out in like 95, and then his last game came out in like 2008 or something like that. So he had like a 10-year arc, and now they're going to cram it into, all these changes that happened to Luke happened over the last 20 years. Just take our faith on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just deal with the fact that this is the way he is now.
I don't know. I'm really hoping that there's more to the movie than what the trailer gave us.
I mean, it ruins characters for me. It does, because, like, you look at Luke and, like, Kylo, all right, he went bad. In my mind, Luke is the last Jedi. The only thing, the problem is, the Luke in my mind, after Return of the Jedi, I've read so much about him. Like, he's in the Kyle Katarn games, talking to Kyle Katarn about the Force, and he seems such, like, intelligent. He is a person who has a deep understanding of their religion, quote-unquote. He sounds like Yoda.
Right.
And then you see him in The Last Jedi, and Yoda would never really let anyone go bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, even you look at Anakin, Yoda was like, no, he can't be a part of the Force, but then Qui-Gon strong-armed him in there.
Right.
Like, that's not Yoda's fault. And, like, Luke's gonna let someone go bad, and that's not the Luke I know. And you're just supposed to assume that, like, over the last 20 years, something happened in Luke's life that made him sloppy. And that's just lazy writing.
Once it did happen, he's just like, I'm out.
Right.
That's just lazy to me. I'm just gonna go sit on a rock for...
Right, and so it's so they could have more time for lightsaber fights, man, and star battles and that type of thing.
They need to have a lightsaber fight like in The Force Awakens that meant something. Like, it wasn't just like,
but even The Force Awakens doesn't.
It was
The Force Awakens. I think that lightsaber fight is a perfect representation of what I'm saying. Like, you had Kylo Ren, who was so powerful that he slaughtered every other Jedi, presumably, that was training with Luke and escaped, joined up with this big bad who sprouted out of nowhere, and he can't beat, you know, Rey at a lightsaber fight because Rey is so strong with the Force. And you're just supposed to take all that on faith.
Right.
Like, Kylo is one of the best Sith or Jedi, whatever he ends up being, in the modern era, that's ever
he's the most powerful.
Yeah, he's one of the most powerful. Mm-hmm. He obviously beat Luke, so he's better than Luke, who beat Darth Vader. and he gets beat by a lady who had never seen green before 2 hours before. Like, you're supposed to take that on faith.
I know.
It doesn't
work.
And
that's what I thought about the movie. It just it flowed too fast through things.
Right.
When I rewatched it, I was just like, okay, we're here. Oh, shit. Okay, now we're here. Oh, shit. Okay, now we're here. Now it's the end. What the
right.
fuck happened?
And that's honestly okay with me if there's something to fill in the gaps.
Well,
but there isn't.
The book, there's a novelization.
A novelization, but it's just going to fill in. It's going to be like deleted scenes. It's not going to be like stories that happen outside of the movies,
now
right?
Now, here's one of the big ones that I've heard from the novelization of it is that when Rey was battling Kylo at the very end and she got his face and he's on the ground
right.
and everything like that before the ground cracks open, she hears a voice saying, kill him.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be, people think it's Snoke.
Okay.
Being like, I want you to come over to the dark side,
right.
and this is how you do
Which
it.
Which would make sense if she whooped his prime
Anakin,
student's butt.
Anakin killed Dooku to
yep.
get into Palpatine's good thing.
That's how it works, yeah.
So, yeah. And then that would be just, you know, a great little detail to actually have in the movie.
Right.
And not have to read about
but
it.
But then wouldn't it spoil,
to figure it out?
Wouldn't it spoil the conflict in the next movie?
Maybe.
Because you see that in the trailer where, you know... She's like, I need someone to show me the way. And then Kylo's like, follow me. You know?
Kylo Ren is a stupid setup from Disney. They are just expanding the movies, which is dumb. They have should left it with the last movie.
Oh, that's literally what we're saying, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, I think fundamentally, Colby and I don't have any problems with the characters in the next movie. We have a problem with the fact that they feel artificial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just there.
Because they needed characters.
Because they needed a guy who, you know, rubs Pantene Pro-V in his hair so all the girlfriends of the people who like it,
yeah.
you know, can go and stare at him. So they picked the guy from Girls. You know, they pick Rey there because they needed a, you know, a female lead. Like, none of these people seem there because they are meant to be there.
Yeah.
At least to me. You know, they're just... We had to have a bad guy, and we had to have a mentor to the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
We had to have an empire, and we had to have a rebellion.
Yeah, we had to have a little death ball that gets blown
right.
up at the end.
We had to have a person who isn't a Jedi to ground people, to remind them that there are normal people out there. That's Finn. We had to have a person out there who doesn't know they're a Jedi and will grow into it, and
yeah.
that's Rey. We had to have a amazing star pilot, you know, to make sure that the rebellion is taken seriously,
yeah,
you know?
We got the Luke flying character, yep.
It's like they
agree.
Have the roles on a whiteboard, and then they just do,
but,
okay, here's our characters.
I mean, they're ruining it in ways, but I still just can't complain about seeing X-Wings fly like if I was actually in the universe.
I agree
with
you.
The CG is so good now.
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, but I think you're being
They're
robbed.
All popcorn eye
right.
candy.
Well, I mean, but I think you look at something like Rogue One,
mm-hmm.
which had characters that seemed like they were more a part of an actual world, but you still had all those things. You didn't have
yeah.
a lightsaber fight, really,
right.
but you had the star battles
mm-hmm.
because she got mixed up in the rebellion. But that seemed natural, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it didn't seem like breakneck pace like The Force Awakens was, where they felt like, okay, we need a land battle, we need a space battle, we need a lightsaber fight, we have to have a chase scene, we have to have an escape scene, you know, and they...
That makes sense.
I mean, I feel like they just had a formula for what makes Star
right.
Wars successful, and then they... just wrote those things in the script. Instead of writing a script that made sense, they wrote it based on a guideline that gets them the most money and sells the most merchandise.
And I mean, okay, you want to hear a theory about Rogue One?
Yeah, definitely.
In the Force Awakens art book or whatever,
okay.
there's the Knights of Ren, and they have a big old long list of how they look
okay.
and like who they are.
Okay.
And the total number of the Knights of Ren in the book for the art that they've come up with, so all the people surrounding Kylo in that vision, kind of,
yeah,
were pretty damn similar to the Rogue One group.
Okay.
And so what they thought was that they could get captured at the end and then turned into the Knights of Ren.
And the Knights of Ren are bad, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So the Empire, instead of killing them, you know, like how it happens in the movie, Rogue One, they capture them. Torture, you know, and then brainwash, basically, to create these mass killing machines.
Right.
And then Kylo comes up, and he's like, I could stop a laser with my fucking hand. I am now your master. And they're like, yeah, okay.
Okay.
basically. But if you go through the art, like, you should look it up. Look up Because I remember
every Star Wars movie had something to which you could take and remember about. The stupid Disney thing is making everything family friendly.
That's very true.
Yeah, but I mean that's what sells.
Yeah,
that's why it's doing it.
Do a Knights of Ren concept art.
Knights of Ren concept art. Right here.
Yeah, go.
This one.
No, I think this might be it. Well, no, all of them are hooded in the one that I think. Yeah, okay. Well, that one will work, I guess.
Is it this one right here?
Yes and no.
Yes and
this
no.
This isn't really the ones that I've seen, but okay, whatever. Give me a lineup. Just one of the ones with the lineup.
So, like this one right here.
Yes. Okay. So, the middle one, I think's name is called The Rogue.
Okay.
So there's that.
He's got MC Hammer pants on.
And they think that's Felicity Jones' character.
Okay.
I mean, these are a little bit different than what I've seen. But, like, I mean, the Heavy is the one on the very left.
Okay.
And so that could be the guy with the machine gun that's friends with the monk or whatever.
That dude's a baller, yep.
And then there is a monk somewhere.
He's probably the dude sitting on the canister.
I would think it's either that or the guy with the sword all the way over there.
Or it could be this dude right here that looks really monkish.
Yeah.
Number six. They have numbers. Six.
And then, like, the Bodhi, I think, is the pilot's name or whatever.
Yep. But that isn't true, though, because all those people died.
Right. Yeah. Right. Now, this was a theory I had heard that from someone before the movie came out.
Okay, so you're talking about the Knights of Ren, and I'm not as versed in Star Wars as you are, so just tell me. But, like, or chat, you can tell me, too. But, like, the Knights of Ren, they're just a ragtag group of, quote, at least as far as we know, bad guys, who Kylo ends up joining with, and one of the things that they do is take down Luke, but we don't know what their purpose is or why they exist or how they formed or who's a member. Is that...
That's, yeah, correct.
Okay, so they're just...
They're a mystery box.
So
it's one of JJ's mystery boxes.
Okay. And so we're not supposed to know... Crouch from Sesame Street, back left...
Oh,
this is my trash. Back off.
Get out of here.
Oscar Wren. It's beautiful. But so we don't know why Kylo is with Snoke. So is Snoke part of the Knights of Wren? We don't know.
I think he's the head of them, probably. He tells them what to do.
So why is the First Order even a thing?
Because does that they mean needed the, like, an empire.
How does the Knights of... Do they form the First Order, the Knights of Ren?
No.
How do they come to be in charge, then?
I don't think they're in charge. I think they're like a death squad that gets sent out when you need something done.
The organization doesn't make sense.
Right,
if Kylo is the head of the Knights of Ren, and then he reports to Snoke, and Snoke is in charge of the First Order, how did Kylo come to get associated with Snoke and also be associated with the Knights? Like, you can't be a part of four clubs. Like, that's the problem, right?
I hope that the Last Jedi will shed some light on that. Or Battlefront 2.
Oh, you think Battlefront might do it?
I mean,
you think the lady might be part of
the time frame, right?
Oh.
Supposedly the time frame between end of Return of the Jedi, where the Knights of Ren aren't a thing, and then now to where they are a thing, and they apparently destroyed
what
the
I
Jedi.
Hope from Battlefront 2 is seeing the how the Empire became the First Order, because it doesn't look like the First Order. It looks like the Rebellion is still in second place,
right?
When they shouldn't be.
No, they finished the goal. They blew up the Emperor. Like, you got it.
Repsy in chat says the only reason George Lucas gave up his ranch is because he didn't like the comments about the movies he read online. Got this info. Rooster Teeth. That seems. I've heard that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was tired of people bad mouthing the movie, so he's just like, someone else do it. I've heard that as well. Real Star Wars fan like myself know when they are starting to make movies only for profit, and this is why I won't continue watching them until I hear something really good about it, or if the trailer is good. Because not even the trailers are good. So you're not even excited about The Last Jedi. Did you like Rogue One? Do you like anything in the TV shows, the video games? Are you excited about anything, or do you feel it's all a money grab, Repsy? I mean, that's the question.
Yeah. I don't know. If anything, just from my instincts, I felt like Rogue One was an attempt at telling a story that wasn't a Star Wars cookie-cutter story.
Right.
In the Star Wars universe.
Agreed.
So that's different.
But they're not making more movies like that. At least they don't have them planned, because Solo is going to be
a prequel.
Is going to be an established character.
It's another prequel. They just like doing prequels.
Right.
Rogue One was a prequel.
Well, right, but it had different characters in it, at least.
Right.
Like, it had a plot. You had to steal the Death Star plans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the prequel portion. But everything else about it was completely unique.
Right.
I mean, Solo, I guess, technically has a kind of wide-open thing, but it still has to... You know, we know Lando's going to be in it, so we kind of know the timeline of when it's going to happen in Han Solo's life. Like, we know he's already got the Millennium Falcon, so it's not going to be about that, you know? I mean, it's just...
Well, we don't know that.
There's a thousand photos of them on the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right.
A thousand.
But that could be the end of the movie when they get it. You don't know.
But then they spoil
the
it.
That's true.
Like, so you know the Millennium Falcon's going to be in the movie.
Yeah.
You know it.
Well, that's just with them releasing too much information. Stupid Ron Howard. He probably had nothing to do with it. But
no, those pictures definitely came out before Ron Howard was
fucking
on board.
Goddamn shit, man. The money part of they're just doing this for profit is strictly the best example of it is Porg. That is the best example of them just,
hey man,
give me that money. We'll throw anything at you. Give me that extra cash.
Don't you dare talk trash on Porg, dude. Look at him.
Oh my god.
Got him, dude. There's Porg right there.
They lost me with that, man. I'm just like,
they didn't lose you because you're going to go like day one.
Oh, 1,000%. But
well, I think you agree with Repsy for the most part. Like, I honestly don't feel like you're going to see these because they're Star Wars movies anymore. You're going to see them because you like lightsaber fights and space battles.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You don't really care
Star Wars-y because,
what happens to
the
characters or who the new characters are. You don't. I mean,
and you know
care.
What's
going to
happen. They're not going to die because they want to keep them around. And
like the only reason Han Solo died is because
he was too expensive.
Didn't want to be in it.
And
the only reason Leia's going to die is because the actress Carrie Fisher actually died.
Yep.
You know, Poe's not going to die. You know, Finn's not going to die. That's not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
But then again, that's never what Star Wars has been about.
Yeah.
I mean, no one ever really died in the sequel or the original trilogy either. I mean, Qui-Gon's death was kind of the only one that's kind of
Ben
shocking.
Died?
Well,
Yoda died?
Ben died in the first 15 minutes. Yoda was a puppet. I feel like they... And he didn't really die because he's still around as
Darth Vader died. The Emperor died.
At the very end, and they're the bad guys.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ben and Yoda, they died, but they're still around because they're there as ghosts the entire time.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I mean, Qui-Gon's the only guy who died and never came back.
William Neeson's too expensive, man.
I don't think he is.
I know. They got Harrison Ford. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Also,
does he even want to be in it anymore?
Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude.
Probably not.
Unless there's a fast-moving train that he's kicking people on. I don't think he wants to be in it.
I don't like action movies. I like them. I don't like them. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm doing more.
It's a lame money grab. Disney's a huge company not caring about true storyline. They had to make something new to expand it. Disney was a content creator, which blew up, and sadly has become a money company. Mostly, you know what will happen, except for Han Solo. Didn't see that coming. I don't know, man. You didn't see Han Solo dying coming? I kind of knew he was going to die, just because Harrison Ford didn't want to be in it.
Yeah.
I mean, Disney is a licensing company.
The Solo film.
I don't think they make any bones about it. That Disney is about character creation and then licensing those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their business model.
Right.
Like, they make Donald Duck, and then I go and I buy a stuffed Donald Duck. Like, that's what they do. That's their business model. That's what it's always been. And so Marvel, Star Wars, it's all about selling toys and creating cartoons.
All about them toys, man.
Well, yeah, but it's not just toys. It's cartoons, and it's books, and it's comics. And, I mean, they own the rights to all these things. And just, I feel like they just disrespect Star Wars.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's what they do. That's what is being done to Star Wars.
Because
but regardless, now is a digital frontier age for CGI and sci-fi films because now you can actually make environments and characters and everything like that that did not look real back in the day.
Right.
Look real to an extent now.
It's just a matter
of the creativity of the art direction I'm still involved in. I like the art direction for Star Wars. Lightsabers are my fucking thing. So, I mean, just as long as you keep it, you know, not cookie cutter kind of shit.
I just look at Blade Runner, which is another movie that just came out that's set in, you know, a sci-fi universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a movie that was separated by 30 years, okay? And then it also has two cartoon prequels made by, like, very famous people renowned for their craft that fill in the gaps between it. And then you look at something like Star Wars, which they have more money than Jesus. You know, Disney has the means and the methods to make books, comics, cartoons, short stories, YouTube video. I mean, they own a YouTube company. Like, they can do anything. Anything Disney can do it under their own roof, and then they don't.
Well, yeah, like Blade Runner, I'm sure, is just like...
Bring back Boba Fett. Well, they're making a Boba Fett movie, too. That's the one coming after Solo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But Blade Runner, one of the characters in the movie, I'm sure, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure this is a thing with how much praise it's getting for its art direction and the styling and everything like that, is the actual city that they're in.
Right.
The location is a good part of the story.
Right.
And in Star Wars, The Force Awakens, you got one scene of the actual Republic, and it looked like Star Trek, the new Star Treks, because J.J.'s just like, throw some sci-fi buildings in the background and have some people look up at the sky.
Right. Well,
and then it gets blown the hell up. Gets blown the hell up immediately. You don't have one other scene of life or how the environment reacts, how people interact, like the resistance, the rebellion, like what the fuck is the difference, the Republic. There's three R words that are all just not connected, but are. And it's just
well,
like...
Well, then they blew it up.
Yeah. But instead of giving us any of that detail, it's like, oh, look, Chewie's here.
Well, you mentioned Blade Runner. 2 days ago, this was one of the top stories on Movies Reddit. Blade Runner 2049 worked with futurists and NASA to design the LA of the future. Blade Runner presented a vision of Los Angeles that would excite early technologists and horrify urban planners. Set in 2019, this distant LA was filled with holograms, flying cars, and robots that made it a futurist dream, but it was also crammed with rows of towering skyscrapers beneath the teeming underworld of crime flourished, making it an exciting nightmare. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see. The production team included Denis Villeneuve, who is, of course, the director, cinematographer Roger Deakins, and Nelson's VFX team, which comprised several vendors for different segments of the movies. When Nelson says that their 2049 isn't really a digital world, he's not suggesting that the movie wasn't filmed with the digital effects. But Blade Runner 2049, he says, has over 1,200 visual effects shot, making for an hour and 38 minutes of VFX in the 2 hour and 43 minute movie. But these were judiciously to help build a future that looks like it exists in the same universe and timeline as the original film. It was an echo back to future noir, old new at the same time. Let me see. There are no 16:9 screens in the movie. They're all 3:4. Noting the subtle yet significant anachronism that lines up with the 1918 movie and all the graphics in the film, we weighted it to feel like they were electronic graphics, but more like they were a picture of something, a picture of a negative. You see that the database when K goes through records, it doesn't look like if it's a bunch of lines and numbers zipping out of something. It looks like microfiche. So like they went above and beyond to make their movie look like it was in the same universe from the 80s.
Right, because that's a big complaint with the Star Wars prequels is these are before
and the technology
original,
looks better.
And the technology is pristine compared to back then.
Already famous for being a wide network of city of town, L.A. length was extended up to the California coast. Villeneuve told Nelson that he envisioned the both gigantic city-sitter and continuous sprawl that extended from L.A. to San Francisco. I scouted Mexico City on Google Earth and arranged all my flight patterns and gave them to our aero cameraman, Dylan Gloss, who had worked with Roger Deakins before. We searched through locations for it, and when it became cloudy, we wanted to get the soft light, and then we went and shot one helicopter trailing another helicopter. They shot the city from above, and they used those plates as the building blocks for something far more massive and moody. The VFX team darkened the prints, removed the cars and trees, and added 3D atmosphere like mist, fog, and rain. They are layers of layers that have added atmosphere, creating a moody, dystopian nights over the sprawl of a booming downtown. Like, I mean, the headline on Reddit is, Roger Deakins and his crew waited days for the right weather and light, then shot miles and miles of Mexico City from a helicopter so it could be used as the basis for the city in Blade Runner 2049.
I want to see that fucking movie.
I do too, dude. But like, Repsy in chat says, to be honest, I really hope the Sith will rule because I'm sick of all the good Jedi ending happy hippo stuff. I don't think you're going to get that.
You're not going to get that,
man. You're
not going
to get that.
I want it too. Hell yes.
I mean, good, they just they want good to always triumph.
Like,
man.
One, I watched another video where some guy was saying how Logan is better than most Marvel movies, and that's because it actually had an ending. All these other ones, all the characters are confirmed for multi-films down the road, and we know that we're going to get a Marvel film every year, three of them, for the next 10 years, basically.
Right.
And so, with Logan, like, not only did he, spoiler, die at the end, but it was an ending to a character, and then it's just like, it's much different.
But it also doesn't take place in a universe, either. Like, I mean, it does, because, you know, Professor Xavier's in it, but it's not like a Marvel movie where you can place it in a timeline
right.
that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. This is like it's yes. it's almost like a
it's
one
not
shot
episodic right. into the timeline.
Like they're not
going to
mention that this happened in any like other movie.
This they is Tokyo Drift for Fast and the Furious. Yeah. It's just a big old jump in
right.
the future.
They're never going to mention it in another movie. This one isn't going to mention another movie.
Right.
It's a standalone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally agree with you, dude.
I don't know, man. And I agree. Logan was really good. I mean, it was small scale. And
like and this right here, that what I'm looking at, is Blade Runner concept
crazy,
art
but...
versus what you see in the movie. And like, it's pretty insane. Like, I mean, this right here is concept art, and this right here is in the film.
Jeez.
You know, like, here's concept art, here's in the film, you know? I mean, we talked about Star Wars concept art and how
good it is. This is better.
Right. Well, and it translates exactly. Like, I mean, concept art to the film, you know, I mean, it's just, it's nuts to me that yeah. like a movie. And the reason I'm comparing it to Blade Runner is because it's a sci-fi movie that took place 30 years after the original. And it just seems like so much more care was put into it than they put into Star Wars.
And why?
Well, I think Repsy's right. It's because they're trying to make it a movie for all ages, and Blade Runner is not that way.
But
Blade Runner was made with respect to the Blade Runner universe,
well, yeah.
And Star Wars is
R-rated, right?
Right.
When it came out.
Right. And so was the sequel.
I mean, that's kind of...
And but Star Wars is not made with respect to the Star Wars universe. It's made with respect to everything.
How many toys can we sell?
How many... offshoots of like plushies can we make, and how many children and adults can we cram into a theater to watch the
right.
same movie?
Yeah,
we're Blade Runner's not that way. It's like we're a Blade Runner sequel. It's not. This is a Star Wars movie that pays tribute to Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Star Wars movie that we want people to come see so they can buy more toys. You know,
yep.
how many beer pints? You know,
it's very true. But I feel like you could do both.
Right. Well, and that's exactly my point. Is that if Disney can, if anyone can do it, Disney could do it,
mm-hmm.
and they don't.
Right.
And I
don't
understand why. Because
care. the art and the money is just like.
But yeah, the Boba Fett movie is definitely a thing that's going to happen, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it goes episode 8 that's coming out, then it's Han Solo, then it's episode 9, then it's Boba Fett. If I am correct.
I believe you're right. Of course, the first one that came up is Star Wars the Boba Fett movie has run into some problems.
Uh-oh. Of course it has. What are those problems? Studio
Star Wars Yoda and Boba Fett's spinoffs confirmed with Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah, and the Kenobi movie.
Yep.
And the Yoda movie? What?
That's what this says. Rogue One Star Wars
the
Story.
Yoda one.
Last Christmas. Well, the Young Han Solo movie is currently filming with a release date for May 18th. Yesterday, the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie is finally announced. The film is likely to see Ewan McGregor. It's also revealed that other movies centered on big characters are likely.
Oh, my God.
According to the Hollywood Reporter, Lucasfilm is considering movies that focus on Yoda and Boba Fett the Bounty Hunter. Back in March, the rest assured the Boba Fett movie is not dead. As far as I can tell, the movie will most likely not be an origin story. It's not strictly a Boba Fett movie, but a film about an ensemble of bounty hunters on an adventure. As for Yoda, the famous green alien was over 900 years old when he died in Return of the Jedi, so there's plenty of space for a prequel solarality. Meanwhile, he's expected to appear as a Force ghost in Star Wars The Last Jedi, which was released this Christmas. Did you know Yoda's going to be in The Last Jedi? I didn't know that.
Nope. Also, why? All these young kids are going to be like, who's that fucking green guy?
Nah, because they watch the prequels, man.
Nah. Not
yeah.
Generation Z, man. They don't care about those.
My son's 8. He's seen all the Star Wars 100 times.
Well, that's because you influenced him to watch the Star Wars.
I didn't care about Star Wars at all.
He was just like, hey, Dad, what's Star Wars?
And no, I think kids at school have backpacks, and that's what gets them into it. Because I don't watch Star Wars. I don't even own Star Wars here.
I don't know, man.
I think kids think laser guns and lightsabers are cool, and
probably.
So they watch the movies, and
yeah.
that's why.
And that's
like,
me.
I don't think he's going back to watch
too.
The older movies because they're not as exciting. But, mm-hmm. like, Attack of the Clones is like candy for 8-year-olds, man. And 24-year-olds.
Yep. I don't like Attack of the Clones.
I will be Boba Fett for life. What if it's trash, though? Like, are you going to blindly defend a bad movie just because Boba Fett's in it? That's what I don't get. Like, they're pooping all over your characters, and you guys are like, but lightsabers, that's okay. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys should be rioting in the streets about how Star Wars has been pooped on, but because they got stupid swords and flying ships, you guys are like, it's all right, though, we're still happy. It's like your Coke is half flour, but you still get some Coke, so you're fine with it.
Oh, God.
That's what I don't get. Like, if the Netflix series comes out and it is The Witcher Netflix series comes out, and it is garbage, I will go to Pasadena or wherever Netflix is, and I will find that man who made Moonwalked, and I will beat him to death, because I will personally blame him for the Witcher failure. I won't do that. It's expensive and it's illegal. But the point remains, I will be very vocally angry.
Yeah.
Because and I will say a poo on it. It's not my hashtag, not my Witcher.
I think we're being pretty vocally angry about it.
Yeah, but you're gonna go see the movie. Panella is hyped for Boba Fett. Even if it sucks.
He's a dumb person, so.
But you're gonna be hyped for it. Are you hyped for the Solo movie? You gonna go see it? Are you gonna go see it first day?
Probably because it's Star Wars. No, not first day.
If the Witcher trailer comes out and it is grotesquely cheesy, I will not be excited for it. At all. Because it's not my Witcher.
Right. I don't know, man.
Put lightsabers in the Witcher.
What now, you piece of filth?
Off goes his head.
I'm taking Griffin down really easy.
That would certainly make monster slaying easier. You know there's a mod out there for The Witcher 3 where someone replaced Geralt's sword with lightsabers. Yep. You know there is. That'd be great, actually.
I saw a mod for The Witcher 2 when people pirated the game.
Yeah.
And the sex scene in it, the woman turned into a granny. Like a really dead-faced, poorly animated. Yeah.
Like, this is what you get for stealing the game?
Yeah, this is what you get for stealing the game.
That is hysterical, actually.
That was pretty interesting.
That is hysterical, dude.
It was terrifying.
Yeah, man.
For sure. I don't know. Star Wars is,
I don't know how we got on this topic. How do we even get on
Tron
this topic?
Tron and Disney.
That was it.
I believe.
Tron.
But I don't know why. I guess it's just the place in my heart for a good entertainment era.
I don't know, man.
When I was younger, I saw all the prequels. When I was like, you know, 6 to 10-ish in that range were the years I was alive when they came out. And I never analyzed them at all. I saw fights, and that's it. That's all I saw. And then I went back and rewatched all the prequels, and I'm like, these are the worst pieces of shit I've ever fucking seen.
Maybe it's a difference in personality. Like, you don't care as much about the lore and the backstory of things as I do. And that might be the difference. But, like, I used to be into Star Wars as much as anyone. And it's just because it was disrespected for so long,
I grew up with the prequels.
I mean, it wasn't a conscious decision that I'm like, I no longer like Star Wars. It's just interest faded because it felt beneath me. Like, that sounds like a horrible thing to say, but, like, it felt like it's for kids. Like, when I go into Target as a 25-year-old man and all I see are action figures and I see no script that interests me, I'm like, this is obviously not being made for me anymore.
Right.
I feel like there's 100 other things out there, like Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones and The Witcher and Blade Runner, probably, that treat me like an intelligent, smart adult that I am, but still give me fun swords and monster slayings and laser guns and all those things
that
I want.
The problem I have with Marvel, too, is it's all just kid-based, man.
Right.
And I mean,
I'm excited about just because it is the popcorn movie. Like, I go see it, it's a popcorn movie.
That's the reason I still see Star Wars.
But that's what I don't like, is that Marvel, I know, is popcorn. Star Wars, I know, is popcorn, but it hasn't always been. And I don't like that they pooped on it.
The only time it was never popcorn was Empire. That was the only time.
The expanded universe has always been meaty. The movies have always been popcorn.
Yes.
Yes, I agree with you. But there's
that's all I'm
movies.
Talking about. Well, because I don't read books.
Well, why not, man? Reading that book about the Koch brothers?
No.
I have high hopes for Boba Fett, but I agree that Disney will probably mess it up and think, oh, a guy with a carbine and a Mandalorian armor crawling out of a Sarlacc pit, boom, movie made, give me money. Well, and that's a good point. Like, they have a book about how Boba Fett escaped from the Sarlacc. They could just do whatever they wanted now. That book doesn't exist. Story-wise.
Repsy, thanks for hanging out, man.
Yeah, Repsy says, okay, guys, talk about Disney, punch and disrespect, have to go to bed, it's like 11
European
p.m.
European country.
Yeah, man. Have a good one, see you later, coming back for sure. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. We'll see you around.
Give
thanks
me
for
money.
Star Wars.
Boom, movie made, give me money.
What?
Disney will probably mess it up.
That's what Penelope said.
A guy with a carbine and Mandalorian armor crawling out of a Sarlacc pit. What?
It really worries me. Like, you guys don't know Unofficial Tony P, but me and Colby know Unofficial Tony P in real life. And it worries me that he can't spell words like necessary, but he can type out Mandalorian with no problems.
Dude. And where does carbine come into this? What's
it's
the carbine
rifle.
Thing?
It's his rifle.
Oh, okay. Really?
I mean, I'm not going to question Pinella. I mean, Oda Fisher, Tony P probably knows more about Boba Fett than I know about burritos.
Maybe.
Dude.
That's possible, though. Oh, man.
Boba Fett gun. Let's look right here. E-88 carbine. See, man, he threw it out there.
Yeah, it's the EE3 carbine, bitch. Get it right.
Is that what it says? Where's
right
it say?
There.
Suck my nads on a fish Tony pizza. What about this? What about this, dude? EE3 carbine rifle. It's manufactured by BlazTech Industries.
Is it?
They were used by bounty hunter Suki during the Clone Wars and Boba Fett during the Galactic Civil War. In addition to the carbine's usage by bounty hunters, also used by troopers of both the Alliance to restore the Republic and the Galactic Empire.
Props, though, for knowing that it's a carbine. I was like, did he just come out of World War II and he's a...
Oh, he also got the E right. Yeah. Like, that's... Pinella, dude. Read the Bible or something, man.
I got to study up on the Lord. Don't be living in this random bounty hunter universe, man.
Let me, you know, just for you, let's Google E88 and let's see if it comes up. It looks like it's a pill. Here we go. This is the E88 carbine. Boba Fett's throwing pharmaceuticals at people. Oh crud! I hit the wrong button.
What are you doing?
I can't use the numpad to type numbers.
No, and you need to not do that, man.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we got that. Here's your green right here.
No, you can't see it. He can't see it. There you go. That's what he's throwing at people, Pinell?
Yep. E88! It's clozapam.
It blew up the Sarlacc, and he just flew right out.
I need some clozapam stat. All right, well.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Well, we managed to fill 2 hours of nothing.
Yeah, we always do.
That's pretty crazy.
Somehow, we always mean to... Should we end the show with this instead?
Oh, yeah.
Should be our ending song?
Mm-hmm. Forever.
Do we just replace it?
Yep.
Get flagged for copyright on every episode on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because of our stupid ending song every
totally.
Week.
Totally.
The Grid. A digital frontier. I tried to picture clusters of information as they moved.
Information moving.
What did they
look
like? The
grid.
Ships. Motorcycles. Were the circuits like freeways?
Freeways.
I kept dreaming of.
I want Jeff Bridges to narrate my life, dude.
Yeah, I don't think his voice gets enough credit, like a Morgan Freeman white guy voice.
Totally agree with you.
I got in.
Peter Pan. Hey, what's up? Oh my God.
Oh man, dude. I don't know. This is a pretty good ending song.
Yeah. Too bad we get copyright.
Yeah, we would
try and recreate it and make my own version of it.
I mean, if it sounds similar enough, we're still gonna get flagged for copyright. Like, can't be like my friend played this. It's not copyright protected.
I can't make it sound exactly the same. I'm not Daft Punk.
Don't you have that MIDI keyboard at your house?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go, man.
I will do it.
Dude, make us an ending song, please.
I'm not gonna
Can I play your rap on here?
No.
Come on, man.
Fuck no.
We'll be rap. Hey, Peter Pan, man, how's it going, dude?
Get out of here.
I think it's on. Oh, I searched.
Only for you. This is not for the internet.
What was the name of it? I think it's just rap. It's something rap in the title, but I don't remember what it's called.
Just don't. Maybe.
I don't know, man.
Just in the show.
Do we like live theater? I mean, we live in Wichita, Kansas. We don't really have live theater.
Yeah, not much.
Like Pinella or unofficial.
I don't
Tony
give
P.
a fuck what he wants.
He's clamoring for it, man.
He's also heard it. He was there when it was recorded. Whoa. So, no, not for him.
I want to find it, dude.
No,
it's on a playlist
in the damn show.
No, I don't want
you shit bitch.
No, man. Peter Pan's asking us questions. We can't end.
God,
somewhere in here, dude. I want to find it. Yeah, don't play that.
See.
It's not that bad,
dude. It's that bad, man.
It's not that bad.
It's that bad.
It's not that bad. Here, this is it right here, all right? This is what he made right here. I don't know why you think this is bad. This is pretty good right here. Good bass, you know?
It's a rap.
It's going to have some melody in it here pretty soon, dude.
Oh, yeah?
Intense. Yeah, you ready? There comes
the rapping part?
Here's to all the haters who just don't get why I get to be a creator and stack my bills high. Like that?
Yeah.
Is that what you want? That. Okay. All right, I'll turn that on. It does have me. What do you don't like this, man?
It's better than my rap.
It must be like up towards the top, man. I don't know where it is.
I really hope you deleted it on accident.
No, it's definitely in here somewhere. I just have no idea where it's at.
Oh,
so you get to escape, man.
Thank Jesus. Oh. Nah, fucking hell. Okay, good. This is just a beat.
Oh, I don't have the one with words. Is that what you were worried about?
Yes!
Oh, no, I don't have that.
Thank God.
I was playing a music composition that you made.
Okay. Yeah, this is mine.
Yeah.
And this is called Samples from Logic.
It's called a hard rap. Is what it's called. It's not really that hard, though.
It's really not.
It's not really that hard.
I don't
hard.
Know why I named it Hard Rap. It's about to break down, though.
It's about to break down?
Oh, yeah.
Let's get ready to break down. Oh, yeah, so hard right now, dude.
Like, you gotta go ham on this thing.
So hard right now, dude.
It's meant for, like, a hard, like, Hobson song.
Give me some smoothie jazz. What's wrong with him? Smoothie jazz?
I don't know.
Smoothie jazz, dude?
A lot of crap is wrong with the man.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, let's end the stupid show then.
All righty.
All right, guys. That is it for us. Thanks, everybody, for stopping by.
Chatting
with us. We appreciate it. We are live every Sunday, which is the show you're watching now, at 2 p.m. Central Time. Basically, 2 hours ago is when it started. And we're also live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time at twitch.tv/SethandColby. Hit the follow button, even if you don't watch us live. It helps us as a show. It helps us grow. And we appreciate that and everything you guys are doing for us. If you don't catch it live, we are on youtube.com/SethandColby. You can watch the videos on demand there. You can also listen to the audio version of the show as a podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. All these links and some t-shirts are at SethandColby.com. If you want to check those out.
Check the things out that we got going, man.
Yeah, man. So thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate you. We'll be back on Thursday. We'll see you guys then.
Adios.
Goodbye, everybody. Bye-bye.